Aaron. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Yes, here we go. Here we go. It's Mark and Mark. We're eating M&M's, and it's, of course, time.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and the people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Oh, yeah, he does. Good morning. What's up, Mark?
Good morning. That message always sounds better when you're eating M&M's.
It does. People will be like, why do they keep pulling the M&M's? I got an M&M problem, man. I'm going to bed last night. I'm like, tomorrow morning.
As soon as I get up, there's an M&M's bag with my name on it in that vending machine.
I'm going to be shameless. If you're a distributor of candies or you are the maker of M&M's, we are Mark and Mark, M&M. How about some M&M's for M&M? Dig it?
Yeah.
Right on. Good morning, geniuses, poets, philosopher kings and queens, victims, you know, the umbrella is big, haters of all kinds. We're here to talk. I watched a quiz show last night. For some reason, I'm sitting at home because I'm not feeling well because I've got this thing on my face that we don't need to talk about. It seems like every time I get a certain amount of panic going in my life, I get one of these cold sores. You know, it's not herpes in that way, but, you know, it's a cold sore. It's what I call a souvenir from hell. I've been there. Here's my souvenir.
Uh-oh.
But I felt kind of sick yesterday, and I'm glad that people can't see my face. But it's okay. I don't look bad. You didn't really notice.
I didn't really notice.
It looks a little like I got popped because I take the medicine, and they kind of go away.
You haven't done yoga lately, have you?
Why are you saying that?
Because I was feeling out of sorts yesterday and went straight to the gym when I left here. And I felt great afterwards.
I would have went to the gym. I went to the gym the day before yesterday. I felt great, but I felt a little under the weather, so I just locked down and I did some cooking, as I will. And I watched TV and I watched Quiz Show.
Okay.
I love that movie.
What was that, Redford?
Redford directed it. Turturro's in it.
Okay.
He plays
He's
Temple.
One of my favorite actors.
This is like a genius performance of his. But Rob Murrow... Is that the guy's name, Rob Murrow, who's in the movie, who is from Northern Exposure? He is playing Sam Cedar in that movie. I swear to God, I've seen the movie 2 or 3 times. Now, look, I've known Cedar for years,
All right?
And we go back. And for some reason, every mannerism of Rob Murrow in that movie is just like Sam Cedar, because Sam Cedar's got that slight Worcester accent, and Rob Murrow's trying to do the Worcester accent. And I keep thinking it's Cedar, and it's hilarious. But it's amazing how far we've come from, like, how intimate TV was, and that there was this idea that, you know, he was going to change television, make them answer for their credibility around, you know, these things being fixed, and now almost everything is fixed, and people don't care. In the end part of the movie where he says TV's going to get us, it certainly turned out to be true.
Well, it did turn out to be true. And, of course, that was I was a very small child when that whole scandal.
Do you remember it?
I do remember it, yeah. It was like in the late 50s. And, I mean, this guy was just, he was like the guy on Jeopardy. Every show, he'd come in, he'd answer everything.
I think that guy's got a chip in his head. He's got like a BlackBerry chip in his head. And I think anybody, the truth about today, though, anyone can be a genius, especially in the dark. Because with Google and with NexusLexus, with search engines, I mean, anyone can...
They can figure out just about anything.
It's mind-blowing how little we use our brains. I mean, I was thinking about that the other day. I don't even remember people's phone numbers anymore, dude.
I used to be able to do that really, really well.
Well, you've got an amazing memory. You've got a head full of facts. You always...
It's like those little balls, those little 8 balls that you get. You turn it over and the thing floats up to the top. Well, every now and then, a fact will float to the top. That's all I got left.
But it's unbelievable. We're sitting here, you know, just hanging out before the show, and Riley gives me almost the entire history of the Nation of Islam. And I'm like, dude, I would have had to spend an afternoon Google searching just to... just to get any of that. I didn't say it.
No, he didn't say it.
I almost did.
Whatever it is, he didn't say it.
Oh, close. What the? Sorry, Chris.
Chris jumped.
Training some guy. No. Unbelievable.
Not just training some guy. The guy's going to be here when we get back from
the conversation. I've done it so many times, but I don't actually ever say it. Anyways, here we go. So my dad calls me last night.
Uh-oh.
And of course, he's like, some friends of mine, you know, listen to the show. My friends, they were listening to it, and they said, you're real good. And every time my dad says that, I realize that there's some part of a dad. See, I believe that almost every father-son relationship is a battle to the death somehow.
I just think
that is the subtext of almost every father-son relationship.
Almost, but not mine. I lived in mortal fear of my dad from the time I was a little kid. I mean, my father was one of those spare the rod, spoil the child things. Anything I did wrong, I got my behind whipped for it on many different occasions.
My dad didn't do that. My dad was not a punisher physically, but he mentally punished me. You know, so he calls up. He does this thing where it's like, yeah, they friends of mine listened to the show. They said you were great. And I'm like, uh-oh, this is going to hurt.
Yeah,
because whenever he says he heard I was great, that means like somehow or another I've somehow infiltrated on his being great.
But
here's what he says. He says, you guys talking about the terrorism thing and the politics? I'm like, yes, that's what we talk about. So he starts hitting me on he says, well, you make it this Al-Qaeda guy. They make these arrests. They rat this guy out. And he doesn't know. He just wants me to do what I do on the show for him on the phone.
Oh,
because
okay.
He can't get up early enough to do it. So I lay down the whole rap on Khan. I lay down the whole rap on politicizing terror threats, you know, and he's like, all right, that sounds good. And then he goes, you ever watch this show, Crossfire? Maybe you guys ought to do something like that, a Crossfire thing. And I'm like, Dad, you've listened to my show twice, and you're gonna start advising me on what the format should be. The show's going great. And then he started saying, well, what about this guy Goss? This guy, the CIA guy. So, you know, I said, well, you know what? We're going to be talking about that today. So why don't you tune in? So I got him going. I got him waking up at 5, streaming from Portland.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he'll be hearing it, but he's not going to hear it for a few hours from now. So if you're just tuning in, Pop, good morning. We're talking about it. We're talking about the issues here.
That's right.
Because we're fighting for our lives.
Porter Gotts.
Yes.
It's a very, very interesting scenario going on.
We got to take this thing apart because, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, he seems like the reasonable choice. He's a
CIA guy,
yeah.
House Intelligence Committee chair, the whole nine yards. This was...
What are we going to set out to prove next segment, Mark?
We're going to deconstruct the appointment. We're not going to deconstruct Porter Gotts. We'll tell you what you need to know about him, but we're going to deconstruct what George W. Bush's motives are for naming this guy at this time, and whether or not the Democrats are going to have the skewns to give him any kind of a fight at all during the confirmation process in the United States Senate. Some say they will, some say they won't. Most people think, even though the Democrats said he was unacceptable just 6 weeks ago, he will, in fact, be confirmed.
Right. But there's a lot of issues around this guy about why he chose Goss,
yes.
Who this guy really is, what was his role in the congressional oversight committee, you know, what did the 9/11 committee say about the Congress in relation to intelligence? You know, it's a pretty loaded topic, and we're going to try and investigate it as much as possible. We've got interesting guests today. We're going to address being Muslim in the United States of America. We've got the Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. We've got Imam of the Masjid al-Farah Mosque in New York City, and he'll talk about the relationship between Islam and terrorism and also the lack thereof and also being an American Muslim. We have Irshad Manji, author of The Trouble with Islam, A Muslim's Call for Reform in Her Faith. She is in the studio. We were talking about her problems with being a Muslim and why she is still a Muslim. And we got Bob Baer, who's one of our favorite guests. He's a CIA officer, ex-CIA officer, the author of many books, one of them, See No Evil and Sleeping with the Devil. Those are two of his books. He's going to talk about Porter Gotts and also talk about these leaks that have been making news over the last few days. We've got a great show. We're excited. Hope you are. We'll talk to you in a minute here on Air America Radio.
Planet Check. It's easy being green.
Jennifer Pratt, who works for us, was asked to put together a booklet from our frequently asked questions that we get about recycling and reuse. So we put together a book on ecological tips, and we called it It's Easy Being Green.
That's Lisa Gauthier, founder of Matter of Trust. The book teaches how to be more ecological in your home and office, plus other green tips.
Water conservation, organic food, working with the cycles of the environment.
It's Easy Being Green talks about voting with your dollar.
General information about investing in a greener way. There's 320 million people in the United States, and if everybody put one penny aside every day for the environment, you'd come up with a lot of change.
Plus, it's edible.
It's printed with soy ink, and it's on all hemp paper, so you can actually eat the book.
Find the book online at
matteroftrust.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Biodiesel America. Biodiesel, clean-burning, homegrown fuel. Find your energy freedom at biodieselamerica.org.
Something new has just come to town. Bigger, bolder, brassier than anything you've ever heard before. They got names, big names, Riggins, Banks, Reeves, plus a posse of pros. And they're bringing the big guns of the NFL to Sirius Live 24/7. All NFL, all the time. NFL Radio, Sirius 124.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Trey, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Well, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Big ears, flat feet, bushy hair. Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at family learning programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. The classes are amazing and free. Family learning programs. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMLET-1 and pass down the greatest thing of all, a chance.
Yeah, it's Wednesday morning, morning sedition. I am Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley over there.
Yo!
I'm all jacked up on the M&M's.
Yes, yes.
Wow, M&M's and Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and I'm not being paid by either of those companies.
I had M&M's and grape soda.
Oh, man, you are old school.
Hey, grape soda's rocket fuel, man.
I know it is. I don't think I've ever really drank a grape soda. I've had some Orange Crush in my life.
Well, you know, grape knee-high used to be the official drink of the city of New York. It's gone now. I haven't seen it in years.
What about Yoo-Hoo, man?
Yoo-Hoo was cool, but grape knee-high was like everybody, every store, every bodega in New York used to carry grape knee-high.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was always that and good old cola champagne. You ever have that?
No. What is that?
Sold at fine bodegas.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. What is this? Soda pop
right.
With candy.
Good old tasted like bubblegum.
Oh, my God. I'm changing the station to NPR.
Freeze!
All right. Goss.
Goss.
He's up.
He's
going,
up.
The confirmation hearings are going to be long because, well, this guy, let's talk about this guy. This guy is a Republican member of the U.S. House of Representatives from Florida from 1988 till
now. He's a Yaley. Graduated Yale in 1960.
Mm-hmm. He serves as chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence since 1997. He serves on the House Rules Committee and the new Select Committee for Homeland Security. So he's an intelligence guy.
He was Army intelligence virtually straight out of college.
Hmm.
Went from Army intel to the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Worked as an operative in the CIA, as a member of the CIA. Then retired to some community down in Florida. where I didn't know this, but there's a community in Florida where ex-CIA agents apparently all live, or a lot of them live.
Really? They have little communities like that for circus performance. So it's sort of similar, I think.
Yeah. Goth the Fire Eater.
These people, they just have these little communities where it's like, watch him. That's the guy who hammers nails into his head.
Yeah.
And we get, there's never a boring moment down there at the Circus Freaks.
Circus Freaks Hall of Fame, yeah. Well, no, he was actually, they do have a, they had a place where all those people in the Wizard
of
Oz.
He's in Tampa. He represents Tampa Bay, the 14th Congressional District in Florida, which is Republican, very Republican.
Yeah. And now, he's a right-wing Republican guy. I mean, I don't even think he would quibble with that.
Right.
What's interesting, and we need to connect some dots for our listening audience about this Porter Goss nomination.
Okay, I want to learn, too. So Riley's going to, let's put the dots out and connect them.
All right, first,
yes, like
Scott
games.
McClellan, White House spokesman, will not rule out the possibility that even as Porter Goss has been named, nominated as CIA director, that he may also, or maybe even get kicked upstairs to become the intelligence czar.
Yeah, when they make that decision. So right now, they decided not to pull Congress back in the session, and they decided not to to do what the commission said.
Not right off the top.
This intelligence czar.
No, and Rumsfeld had a little bit of a hand in that. We'll get to that a little bit later.
But they're making it look like they're throwing the committee a bone here. And we're going to say that they're not.
No, they're absolutely not. And this appointment is blatantly and overtly political.
Mm-hmm.
But Goss, according to President George W. Bush, is well prepared for this mission. Contrast that with the statement of former Carter CIA boss Stansfield Turner, who called the appointment of Porter Goss the worst appointment that has ever been made to the directorship of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Yeah.
He does have to be confirmed by the Senate. Senator Chuck Schumer, the senior senator from New York, says that he cannot support anyone who doesn't endorse the 9/11 Commission's intelligence recommendations, which means that's a question he's going to get when the confirmation process is ongoing.
Right, and the Democrats are going to put up a bit of a fight for a couple of reasons, but I just want to give some. Senator Mike DeWine.
From Ohio.
Yes, he said he could be this new person if we go there. Quote, he'll be someone who can walk into the president, look him into the eye, and tell him what the truth is and not flinch. And then the president can go, well, we're not looking for the truth. We're looking for something that we can use.
Okay, well, we'll give you that then.
Yeah.
Now, here's a very interesting little chronology in the career of Porter Goss.
Mm-hmm.
We may remember that George Tenet, the previous CIA director, his resignation was announced on June 3rd of this year.
Yeah.
13 days later, on June 16th,
mm-hmm.
Porter Goss sponsored a bill that would have given the CIA director control over the bulk of the $40 billion annual intelligence budget, 80% of which is now under the purview of, guess who? Donald Rumsfeld and the Department of Defense.
Let me understand something. So Clinton appointee George Tenet announces he's going to resign, right? So that's he's leaving. Now, Porter Goss, who sits on the Congressional
House Intelligence Committee.
Committee for the House Intelligence Committee, says, okay, this guy's gone, and just spontaneously decides to allot half of the defense money from the Pentagon for the CIA.
Sounds good. That's exactly. He sponsored a bill that would have done that. Now,
so can we assume that he was spoken to?
One wonders.
Okay.
Remember too that George W. Bush floated Porter Goss's name about 6 weeks ago,
right?
Which is around the end of June.
Right.
That maybe he would be a good person as they were floating names. In the wake of Tenet's resignation, they said, well, Porter Goss may be a good person. A group of Democrats sent Bush a letter then saying that Porter Goss would be unacceptable.
6 weeks ago.
Yes.
For what
six
reason?
Weeks ago. I think in large measure because they found him to be attached to some of the intelligence failures that had been pointed out by the 9/11 Commission staff reports, because remember, this was before the full report had come out.
Well, there's a logic to this. See, the 9/11 Commission criticized Congress, for its poor oversight of the CIA.
Yes.
Right? So Goss is on the House Select Intelligence Committee, meaning he was one of the people in Congress most at fault for the CIA's poor performance. All right? That's according to the 9/11 panel.
Mm-hmm.
So Goss says the CIA already has the best oversight in the world, a direct contradiction of the 9/11 panel, and that we should go slow in adopting changes proposed by the 9/11 panel. See, Goss favors putting more power in the hands of the CIA, while the 9/11 panel favors creating a national intelligence director with more power than the CIA director. This This means Gotz is more in line with the Bush administration than the 9/11 panel on the issue of National Intelligence Director.
Well, let's hear from Porter Gotz himself. We have a little bit of Porter Gotz talking about intelligence reform.
We cannot afford to make changes blindly or in an unnecessary haste. We can ill afford to rush to judgment any more than we can tolerate needless delay. These issues are too critical. We must pay attention to the details. And believe me, there are a lot of details.
Now, that was in D.C. August 4th, exactly 1 week ago.
So let's talk about the timing a little bit, Mark Riley. The timing, how is it political specifically? Because there's been some indications in the polls that Bush is slipping a little in how people are seeing his performance on terror specifically. That
yes.
Kerry's gaining a little. He's dropped a few percentage points.
Bush has dropped a few percentage points. Now, let's look at the total chronology here.
Okay.
Bush is told in a letter from Democrats, Goss is unacceptable. He waits 6 weeks and then turns around and appoints him. Why? Because Bush wants to be able to box the Democrats, particularly Democrats in the Senate, into a corner.
Right.
To say, either you confirm this guy or you're soft on defense.
So
which he will then attach to John Kerry, a member of, guess what, the United States Senate.
Right, so he's sort of forcing the hand here. He's saying, I'm not going to comply with the commission, but I am taking this major step in appointing someone before re-election. So if you guys hold this up, the onus is on you. You guys are the ones who are putting an obstacle in the war on terror.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the end game is no one in the Democratic Party, particularly in the Senate, wants to be seen as obstructionist on this level. If God forbid something happens, again, everybody's gambling with the lives of the American public here, but if God forbid something happens and the Democrats have bottled up Porter Gotz's nomination in the Senate, Bush is going to jump up and say, now we don't even have the intelligence capability to deal with whatever problem we just experienced.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's the way they're going to work. So he's constantly looking for a way to disperse blame. This guy is a blame dispersal genius. Because the truth of the matter is Goss is taking over an agency that is completely screwed up, that has bad channels of communication, that, you know, was at fault for, you know, what is, you know, considered some of the intelligence oversight in relation
to weapons
of mass destruction.
Yes.
Although some of that was coerced by Bush, you know, from Tenet, even though the information wasn't solid. It's all pretty slippery stuff.
Well, an operative from the Republican Party told the Washington Post that Bush specifically turned back to Porter Gotz to counter this perception, as you pointed out, Mark, that he has started to lose his edge in the war on terror to John Kerry. Democrats are cautious. I think they're going to give Gotz a pass here. Yeah, they'll give him some, you know, they'll give him some stuff in the confirmation process, but they are not going to block his nomination. What will happen by naming Gotz CIA chief, Bush can now put off naming an intelligence czar till after the election.
But he's also such a partisan guy, though. Doesn't it seem like it's a rigged hand? Isn't it?
It is a rigged hand.
Yeah.
It's a hand that's rigged so that he does not have to take an action that makes him uncomfortable, which is naming an intelligence czar and giving the czar teeth, which is what the 9/11 Commission recommended. Not what he did.
Right, possibly real bipartisan teeth. But
yes.
Now we've got a partisan in the intelligence, but in both intelligence departments. So how are we ever going to know the truth of anything?
We're not. The long and the short of it is the American public will get the short end of the stick through all of this, and George W. Bush named Porter Gotz to shore up the poll numbers he says he doesn't read. Still to come, the presidential palm pilot, Kerry versus Bush on Iraq, the sequel, and the all-important liberal agenda direct from the Streisand compound when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
All right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner. That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with a Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
All right. Everybody knows that safety belts save lives. Blah, blah, blah. We've been hearing that for years. I'm just letting you know that your safety belt can save you a whole lot of hassle, too. Because from coast to coast, cops are cracking down. They've got this enforcement effort, click it or ticket. Pretty simple. You buckle up or you get a ticket. Consider this a friendly warning, because guess what? Cops won't be giving warnings. Remember, click it or ticket.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. State Secretary Colin Powell will be a no-show at the upcoming Republican National Convention. Powell recently told the Journalism Convention the decision for his absence is in keeping with the tradition that cabinet officials refrain from speaking at national conventions. But as things stand now, other members of Bush's cabinet will be in attendance and will speak. Democrats are not feeling the nomination of Florida Republican Congressman Porter Goss to the CIA. Party leaders say it's more of the same, adding that Goss will promote the president's agenda and not act independently on intelligence issues. Some Democrats say the new CIA chief should not be a politician. U.S. military is changing its approach when dealing with insurgents in Iraq. They're now using psychology to get the rebels to drop their arms. And authorities in Las Vegas say there's no truth to a federal report that they paid little attention to videotapes in 2002 suggesting terrorists were casing casinos. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Sirius is at the Newport Jazz Festival. On August 14th and 15th, we'll bring you America's greatest outdoor jazz party direct from Rhode Island.
One more time.
This year is the 50th anniversary of the festival, and all the biggest stars are coming out to celebrate. Dave Brubeck, Herbie Hancock, Harry Connick Jr., Branford Marsalis, and many more. Don't miss this historic two-day event. It's Sirius, live from the Newport Jazz Festival, August 14th and 15th, starting each day at noon Eastern on Pure Jazz 72.
I'm Joel Block.
And I'm Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky. A listener asks, do any other animals besides humans dream?
Well, since you can't observe another creature's dreams directly, there's really no way to know for sure if it's dreaming. But there's some pretty convincing, though indirect, evidence that many other mammals do indeed dream. This evidence stems from the fact that, for humans, a stage of sleep known as rapid eye movement sleep, or REM sleep, seems to correspond with being in a dream state.
During REM sleep, your eyes dart back and forth, you can't move much, and there's lots of electrical activity going on in your brain. Almost all mammals that have been studied, from dogs and cats to duck-billed platypuses, seem to go into this stage of rapid eye movement sleep. The patterns of electrical activity in the animals' brains during this stage are similar to those of humans. So if these patterns show that humans are dreaming, then it seems to be that these animals are dreaming too.
Studies have shown that cats who were altered to move during REM sleep ran around, swatted their paws, and bit at imaginary objects. So not only do we have evidence that cats dream, but we have some idea of what they might dream about. For today, that's our show. By the way, if you have a science question, come to earthsky.org. With thanks to the National Science Foundation, I'm Joel Block with Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky.
I got to be honest with you, Mark Riley.
Come on with it.
I'm Mark Maron, you know that.
And yeah.
The Dunkin' Donuts coffee thing is not completely working out. I want to qualify this because I don't want to be a shameless plugger of Dunkin' Donuts. I'm basically, I'm just using it to get straight.
Really?
You know what I mean? I don't enjoy the buzz anymore. I'm just, I'm addicted and it packs
the
punch.
Oh, wow.
I drink a pot of Lavazza before I leave my house, too. The Dunkin' Donuts is sort of like, I can't get the Lavazza. Where's the crack?
Give me some
crack. All right, let's do this. Ramon just got this in, and he's like downloading pictures of his butt, with the Palm Pilot. I mean, it's like someone ought to put a harness on that guy in the Oval Office. But here's the president's schedule. I guess because these guys out of town. President's schedule for today, 7 o'clock a.m., wake up, stay on message. Sure, Kerry fought in Vietnam, but on whose side? Pause for emphasis, wait for applause. Smirk. 10 a.m. fly to New Mexico. Note, despite the confusing name, this is part of the United States. 12 noon. Arrive in Albuquerque. Visit Marin's dad. Tell him if he doesn't do something about that kid's mouth, I will. 1:50 p.m. Speak at Ask President Bush event, Albuquerque. Have Karl Rove plant someone in the audience to ask, is it possible for regular Americans like me to contribute to your campaign? And if so, how? 3 p.m. Tell Southwestern voters Kerry hates turquoise, silver bracelets, sun tea, sizzling chicken fajitas, and poignant paintings of weary Indian warriors. 5 p.m. Arrive in Phoenix. Broiling heat. Dust everywhere. God, I wish I was back in Crawford. 6 p.m. Speak at campaign rally. Phoenix. Make speech ridiculing global warming in 115-degree heat. 11 p.m. Bedtime. Think happy thought. Headline, quote, re-elected President Bush says paying attention no longer necessary, end quote. Register to vote. All right, dummies.
I'm not saying
you're dummies. I know you're all philosophers, geniuses, poets, people,
cynics,
working, truckers of all sorts.
Wise guys.
But you're dummies if you don't register to vote. You got to do it. Go to www.declareyourself.com, register to vote. If you want to get involved with the fight against the black box voting, the devolved machines that have no paper trail, verifyvoter.org is a place to activate your concern. We're going to put a link to that on our website, morningsedition.com. You can also verifyvoting.org, I believe. And that's apparently they're making some strides. They just made some strides in Maryland in getting rid of these voting machines with no paper trail because we can't let the fix go in.
Now, the other thing, in addition to registering to vote,
mm-hmm.
you must, and we're gonna be on you about this.
Mm-hmm.
Come election day, you have to come out. All right? It's not just good enough to register. That's great. But on election day, take your behind to the polls, go inside, and choose somebody. We don't have to tell you who to choose. If you got any sense, you know that already.
Yeah.
But you got to come out and vote. There, the 537 votes. Think about that.
It's like nothing. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous the number of people don't vote. Maybe this advertisement, if you haven't heard the second part in the series of the Swift Vote Veterans for Truth, will help you change your mind about who you're going to vote for this year.
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him 30 years.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry just loses. Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry. John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Powerful stuff.
And by the way, the Swift Vote Veterans for Truth have so little credibility at this point. I'm not sure we're going to hear anything more. Did they put out the second ad yet? I have a feeling they may have decided that one was enough, and maybe they'll go back under whatever rock it was they crawled out from.
Does it mean we can't play the silly thing?
No, we can play the ad every day till election day. I don't care about the ad. But they have no credibility. They are now being attacked, by the way, by veterans groups. John Kerry is going to speak to the VFW National Convention. I believe it's in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's upcoming. Bush has not yet confirmed.
All right. Really?
Yeah.
That's very telling, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
I knew this thing wouldn't stick. I knew those guys were a boatload of dummies. I mean, it's just like, you know, how could they sell themselves out like that? That's why I just don't
understand. They're selling a book. That's part of why they can sell themselves
out like
that.
It's all about money. That's what Riley keeps telling me. It's all about money. Even in this Rumsfeld, the situation where he urges caution on the big intelligence changes.
Well, yeah.
But he's on board with Goss.
He's on board with Goss, even though Goss is a potential enemy because Goss wants to take some of his money.
Right.
All right. And when we say take some of his money, folks, we're talking about the $40 billion this country spends every year on intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right now, Donald Rumsfeld controls 80%. That would be around $32 billion of that $40 billion. The other eight, who knows who gets it or
right.
who controls it. The bottom line is Porter Goss has introduced legislation to shift control of some of that money to the CIA director. We don't know whether that's going to pass or not, but Rumsfeld is making sure. See, Rumsfeld signed on to Bush's intelligence czar thing.
Right.
I believe that Rumsfeld helped craft Bush's intelligence czar thing so that it would not, that intelligence czar would not have
any
oversight
money
and the financial wherewithal to actually run the other intelligence agencies.
Because this is essentially, this is a Rumsfeld power grabber, power maintenance situation.
Yeah, and see, what the other thing Rumsfeld is doing is fighting the centralization, if there's such a word, mm-hmm. of intelligence. See, because one of the things the 9/11 Commission recommends is that there be some centralizing of intelligence gathering so that one agency's intelligence can be shared with others. What they now have is what's called stovepiping, and there's a whole story about this in our briefing today, Mark.
That means, stovepiping is a jargony intelligence term. It means
intel speak.
Yeah, certain threads of classified intelligence obtained by an agency that are kept secret from other agencies.
Yeah, in other words, they don't share.
Right, right. So he still thinks that intelligence bureaucracies or intelligence bureaus should be compartmentalized, that they shouldn't share because that can lead to leaks of important classified intelligence that might be detrimental to national security. Yet, if they had shared some of these stovepipes pre-9/11, if they had taken some of these scattered pieces of intelligence and all sat in a room and said, what do you got, they could have stopped it. See, that's very clear to me.
Well, remember, too, stovepiping had nothing to do with Mohammed Naeem Noor Khan. Or his exposure. You want to talk about leaks? Let's talk about Mohammed Naeem Noor Khan.
Hold on, before we talk about him.
Ah, yes, that Naeem Noor Khan. Well, hey, Rumsfeld's talking about stovepiping had nothing to do with leaking this guy's name to the public. Stovepiping didn't have anything to do with leaking Valerie Plame's name either, now, did it?
But stovepiping did not also have anything to do with stopping 9/11.
Of course not. But stovepiping helps Donald Rumsfeld's overall end game, which is to hold on to the money.
And keep things secret. We'll be right back after this on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Before Shock Jock.
All right, enough about that. Tell me about your pants.
Before Morning Zoo.
It's 720 on the Big Boss. Oh, that's right. We're stacked.
Before liberal and conservative talk.
Tree hugger.
Warmonger.
There was a golden age of radio, and Sirius Radio Classics recreates that era with shows from the original comedy greats like Abbott and Costello, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Burns and Allen, plus old radio serials like Dragnet and The Lone Ranger. Travel back to the real glory days. Sirius Radio Classics. 133.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, and now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Imagine you're at a soccer match and your favorite player has the ball. As she zeroes in on the goal, you want to yell, "You can do it, honey!" She shoots, she scores! You go to scream back, "My baby!" But nothing comes out when you've got a crushed voice box. If you had only been wearing your seatbelt when the truck came out of nowhere, your throat wouldn't have slammed into the steering wheel and you wouldn't have gotten silenced. And this story wouldn't have gotten all twisted. So buckle up, because you never know.
A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
My opinion about the world counts, and I have something to say.
Young people today are acutely aware of the world around them. And optimists give these youth a chance to be heard through their Optimist Essay Contest.
I want to express my feelings, and I want the world to know what I think.
Our local optimists are giving young people that opportunity through the Optimist Essay Contest. Optimists. Bringing out the best in kids.
Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking grass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
the hour. Why aren't they talking about the issues? We're fighting for our lives. Yeah, Morning's Edition.
Want to talk about issues?
I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about John Kerry saying that I'll get those troops out of there, man. They're out of there.
Yeah.
Quick. I got a timetable.
Yeah.
Set Bush up to take over the little conversation, though, didn't he?
Well, you know, Bush this is part of the idiot savant aspect of Bush's presidency and of his political life. I don't know whether it's Rove or Andrew Card or who he's got working for him. But he sets, one day he comes up with the neither do we thing. And then a couple of days later, he comes up with something that is politically, and I'm not saying this because I support Bush. Please do not get the wrong impression. But he does every now and then do some politically smart things. Now, that doesn't mean that they're all politically ethical things, but they are politically smart things.
Well, the one thing Mark Crispin Miller points out in the Bush Dyslexicon is essentially that when the only time that Bush is really focused, really clear, and full of what he is capable of. His charisma really comes out focused when he's being a bully, when he's being mean, when he's being hostile, when he's being defensive.
Yep, and that's exactly what he's being with John Kerry.
Exactly.
You know, Bush asked the question, would Kerry have authorized the president to make war against Iraq, knowing what we know now? Would he have voted for the authorization to go to war? And, of course, Kerry said yes, he would. Now, Bush, of course, then twisted what Kerry said.
Let's get that plate up on a stick.
Yeah, here he goes.
Almost 2 years after he voted for the war in Iraq, and almost 220 days after switching positions to declare himself the anti-war candidate, my opponent has found a new nuance. He now agrees it was the right decision to go into Iraq.
He never declared himself the anti-war candidate. This is Bush. You know, he's using material from the early 70s to begin the spin.
Oh, yeah. And his spin, he is. Aside from the fact that John Kerry never called himself the war president, and we talked about this before we went on the air. Anti-war president. The whole use of the term nuance around John Kerry's name, I think, sends a very direct signal to Bush's supporters. That you see, because what they've done is paint John Kerry and Democrats as this kind of elite, overread, sushi-eating, you know, Thai food-consuming, black outfit-wearing.
It's a big lie. It's a way of minimizing. He said to Joe Biden, I guess it's a reference to that comment he made.
Bush don't do nuance.
Right. Well, yeah, he doesn't do nuance. He only does belligerence, stubbornness, and arrogance.
Yeah.
There's no room for nuance because all those things require simple language to make people believe the type of crap that he's putting out there. I mean, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. John Kerry was in Vegas yesterday.
Right.
I don't know why, but John Kerry was in Vegas. I still hate Vegas. I don't care how long you stay there, Senator. Anyway. Here is what John Kerry actually said about his position on the authorization for war.
I've been consistent all along, ladies and gentlemen. I thought the United States needed to stand up to Saddam Hussein, and I voted to stand up to Saddam Hussein. But I thought we ought to do it right. I thought we ought to reach out to other countries. We ought to build an international coalition. We ought to exhaust the remedies available to us.
Well, this is the misunderstanding. This is the way that Bush is spinning it, is that Kerry did not vote for the war per se. He voted for the authorization of the war, for the president's ability to authorize war under conditions. There were conditions that were set forth in the 107th Congress Joint Resolution on the Iraq War. This is October 10, 2002. The Congress of the United States supports the efforts by the president to strictly enforce through the United Nations Security Council all relevant Security Council resolutions regarding Iraq. Okay, so check. Bush didn't do that. Obtain prompt and decisive action by the Security Council to ensure that Iraq abandons its strategy of delay, evasion, and noncompliance. Check. Bush did not do that.
Nope.
The president is authorized to use the armed forces of the United States as he determines to be necessary and appropriate in order to defend the national security of the United States, which turns out wasn't immediately threatened by Iraq.
No.
And also to enforce all relevant United Nations Security Council resolutions regarding Iraq. But this president completely detached from the United Nations Security Council. But the real hinge to this whole thing is is that it enables the president to use force. The president shall make available to the House of Representatives and the Senate his determination that acting pursuant to this joint resolution is consistent with the United States and other countries continuing to take the necessary actions against international terrorist and terrorist organizations, including those nations, organizations, or persons who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11, 2001. So what he did was Bush went in to Afghanistan, which most people were for.
Yeah, they supported that.
Even some liberals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really was a rift within the liberal community. So he goes there, didn't finish, then decides with Wolfowitz and Cheney and Abrams and Pearl and all these other neocon guys that now's a good time to go in Iraq, which we've been wanting to do since 95.
Yep.
So he ditches Afghanistan, which is now in a certain amount of chaos. I mean, they have warlords running for office there.
We're going to get to that, too.
Right. And goes into Iraq unilaterally deciding and trying to connect Iraq with terrorism. That doesn't even exist. So what Kerry voted for was something that George Bush completely disregarded, which was the 107th Congress Joint Resolution on the Iraq War.
Well, let's talk a little bit for a moment, Mark, about what this allowed Bush to do. All right, this resolution and the fact that Congress voted overwhelmingly in favor of it allowed George W. Bush to project the inevitability of an invasion against Iraq. Remember that this was in October of 2002. By January of 2003, everybody in this country knew that there was nothing Saddam Hussein could do at that point to avoid an invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There was everything. Okay, you want the inspectors to come in? Let them come in. You want to do this? Yeah, we'll do this. He attempted to comply, rightly or wrong. I'm not saying he's a great guy, but he did attempt to comply. Bush knew as soon as he got this authorization that he was going to war and that there was nothing the Security Council, Saddam Hussein, or our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ could have done at that point to stop him.
Yeah, so what Kerry didn't support was Bush's methodology. What is wrong with me today? We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jim Brewer.
Raw Dog, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Jim Brewer unleashed with my good friend Pete Corielli and the gang. There'll be no strippers.
There'll be no cinnamon.
There'll be no hookers.
Hey, Daddy.
There'll be no bitches. There'll be no delinquents.
Off the leash.
What's up?
Come over there and punch in the snot box, Charlie.
Come hang out. Jim Brewer, unleashed. Friday night, 6 p.m.
Raw Dog.
Where what now?
Sirius 147.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, blindness can all be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk. But a simple blood test can detect the problem, and with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. Call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
Big ears,
flat feet,
buck teeth,
bushy hair,
pug nose.
Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at family learning programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. On things like GED preparation, English as a second language, and more. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMILIT1 and pass down the greatest thing of all.
A chance.
Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Are you in the car right now with your kids? Sounds like the perfect time to ask them about the drug ecstasy. Go on, ask them. You have time right now to ask them. Think there's a better time? Maybe when you can sit down and have the talk? aren't you sitting right now? The time to have the talk is right now. Lock the doors if you have to, because they're sitting right there. Go on, ask your kids about ecstasy. Right now. If you don't do it now, do you think you ever will? Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to askyourkidsabouti.com.
Hey, man. I just want to I want to make sure we understand the clarity of this.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
This guy is such a bully. You know, I mean, I cannot... It's amazing now how he's getting all filled with his bully juice. That, you know, because he's such an intellectual nothing that when he... The only time that he can speak clearly, and this is, you know, something that many people have noticed, but primarily Mark Crispin Miller in his book, The Bush's Lexicon, that he really gets full of clarity when he gets to be contemptuous, defensive, and bullying. Can we hear this quote as how he's misappropriated, you know, Kerry's vote? He's appropriated it into his own ideology, but it's there's a fundamental lie at the core of it. Let's listen to this.
Senator Kerry now agrees with me that even though we have not found the stockpile of weapons we believe were there, knowing everything we know today, he would have voted to go into Iraq and remove Saddam Hussein from power. I want to thank Senator Kerry for clearing that up.
That's from Florida yesterday, and it's a blatant lie. What Kerry voted for and would vote for again is to give the president authority to make a decision along with the international community vis-a-vis the United Nations to go into Iraq or to go into any other country that is clearly aligning itself with terrorists or terrorist activity, which was never proven. And there was no weapons of mass destruction. And I have to assume that most Americans are pretty appalled by this. He keeps trying to sell this point. I mean, Dick Cheney just stopped trying to sell. I mean, he barely stopped to try to make this sort of Iraq-Al-Qaeda connection. They keep saying it and saying it and saying it because there are a certain amount of people that are too dumb to do the research to figure out what's really true. And I have to assume that many people are pretty upset. This justification of the war, it's like, hey, who cares now whether they're there or not? Mm. Well, how about the families of dead soldiers? How about that if they're not there? I mean, I have to assume that a lot of people are not buying this sort of like dismissal and justification after the thought stuff. He still lied, and I think he should have been impeached.
Well, see, here's the interesting thing. What he's doing is pushing John Kerry into his camp. He's saying John Kerry doesn't care about weapons of mass destruction any more than I do. And we know that was not, and nor was it ever, the case.
Unbelievable.
It certainly is. Now, we got a couple of seconds left, and, you know, Colin Powell, our Secretary of State, is apparently not going to be speaking at the Republican National Convention. He says it's tradition. I don't know what kind of tradition it is,
yeah.
Because the sitting education secretary speaking, Rod Page, too many black guys? I don't know.
Let's talk about it when we get at the top of the hour. We'll come back after the liberal agenda. We'll hit that Colin Powell stuff. It is pretty weird because they're trying to dismiss it as protocol. Here's the liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. One, practice for a Republican convention by dousing yourself with pepper spray, writhing on the ground and screaming, police brutality! Two, feeling frisky? File a frivolous lawsuit. Three, demand government protection for vinyl LPs after Rolling Stone called them an endangered species. Four, as always, be the first to complain. And five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation regardless of the topic, quote, that's the slaveholder's position, end quote. We'll be back after the top of the hour.
After the top of the hour. We got more. Don't go anywhere. Mark Maron's Dream Diaries on tap, along with the War on Brains. We examine Islam with our special guest, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, and Iraq, Birth of a Nation, all when we continue here on Air America Radio.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look. These are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, and you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
When was the last time you tested your smoke alarms? Last month? Last year? Can't remember? If you're not sure your smoke alarms are working, then how can you be sure you'll be protected if a fire breaks out? Don't gamble with your life and assume your smoke alarms are working. Test each one every month so you know they'll be ready to protect you and your family if there's a fire. Test your alarms for life.
Ben.
I am the Edison Photograph. Delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Washington Times is reporting that a high-profile political assassination linked to the public release of a new message from Osama bin Laden will lead off the next major al-Qaeda terrorist attack. U.S. intelligence officials have been confirmed as the source of the report. Assassination plot is among new details of al-Qaeda's plots disclosed by U.S. officials familiar with the intelligence. The intelligence community is saying the killing could be carried out against a U.S. or foreign leader, either in the United States or abroad. State Secretary Colin Powell says don't expect to see him in a lineup of Republican leaders to address the party's national convention in New York later this month. That's the site of where President Bush will be nominated to seek another term. Powell recently told a journalism convention in Washington that he was asked not to speak, in keeping with a tradition that cabinet members are to remain neutral in such political arenas. But reports this morning indicate that other members of Bush's cabinet will be addressing the convention. This includes Education Secretary Rod Paige. President Bush sought to go with the familiar rather than deal with an independent figure to help rebuild the reputation of the nation's Central Intelligence Agency. Bush's selection yesterday of Congressman Porter Goss as the agency's new chief is not sitting well with many Democrats. Republican Florida lawmakers considered an expert on intelligence matters, but also deemed as someone who will espouse the beliefs of the Bush White House and not project independent, objective measures to improve the system. West Virginia Senator Jay Rockefeller pretty much summed it up, the feelings that is for most Democrats, saying the selection of a politician, any politician from either party, is a mistake. Georgia Congresswoman Denise Majette appears to be one step closer to becoming the state's first black U.S. senator. Majette beat out white businessman Cliff Oxford in one of two racially mixed pairings of the state ballot in yesterday's runoff elections in Georgia. With 91% of the precincts counted, Majette was leading Oxford by 35,000 votes. She now faces what many say will be a tough battle with Representative Johnny Isakson for the seat being vacated by retiring Senator Zell Miller. There was another racially mixed pairing in Georgia yesterday, this for the congressional seat held by retiring Representative Matt Collins in the state's 8th district. In a Republican contest, white veteran state lawmaker Lynn Westmoreland put down the challenge by young black former White House aide Dylan Glenn, who had the support of former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. American forces in Iraq took on a new approach in their ongoing battles with the insurgents loyal to radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Some of the soldiers staged patrols armed with loudspeakers urging the militants to drop their arms and leave Najaf immediately or face death. It was a psychological component to the U.S. offensive that many are hopeful will pay off in the long run. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey people, it's Mike Church from Sirius's Talk Central. You know, back in the day they had this thing called the Monroe Doctrine. Well, now we're going to have this thing called the Church Doctrine. You'll get to hear the Church Doctrine every day on Sirius Right. Bring on John Kerry. Bring on Johnny Beefcake Edwards and whoever the left-wing loonies want to bring on. Because I can't be fought. I can't be reasoned with. You can do that when you know you're right.
The Church Doctrine. Cut that out. Weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Conservative Talk Sirius Right 142.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lacus with today's Car Clinic Minute. White, pure perfection. Well, you can retire that idea. When I come back, I'll color your world where the rubber meets the road. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power.
Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com.
Ebony and ivory. Paul McCartney crooned about, what else? Tires. Believe it or not, the first car tires were white. But in 1864, a manufacturer aiming to distinguish his lackluster tires commissioned Joseph Binney, founder of the Peekskill Chemical Company, to produce one in silver gray. Chemists discovered that by adding carbon black to the rubber, they not only concocted a unique, darker tire, but also fashioned one that lasted five times longer than its pale counterpart. But the splash of color didn't fade there. Benny's company later exploded into the Skittles rainbow, known as Benny and Smith, makers of Crayola crayons. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Oh, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition. Good morning, geniuses. How's it going out there?
I feel giddy and weird. My brain's been skidding around. President's all full of bully juice. Everything's... I'm going to be at Joe's Pub tonight. I'm going to be hosting what they're calling Hebe Storytelling.
Uh-oh.
From, don't think I'm just being anti-Semitic, a Semitic anti-Semite, but Hebe Magazine is doing a storytelling night. It's a pretty interesting lineup. It's me and Jesse Klein and Albert Maisels. Albert Maisels, who did, with his brother did Gimme Shelter and Great Garden.
Oh, Great Gardens, yeah.
Yeah, he did some pretty powerful documentaries. Stephen Glass, the famous plagiarizing maker-upper, is going to be there. And who else? Rain Pryor, who is one of Richard Pryor's daughters. And, you know, some one or two other people that I'm spacing out. I don't know if it's sold out, but you can go to www.joespub.com. and see if there are any tickets available. Also, go to verifiedvoting.org if you want to get active in the anti-Diebold black box voting machines with no paper trails front.
Now, hold up for a second.
Yes, sir.
Because I got a complaint from someone who listens to the show pretty regularly the other day.
That's Mark Riley, by the way.
Hi.
Yeah. What'd I do?
No, it's not you.
Okay.
I mean, it's just an assumption we all make these days in the 21st century. One of my good friends who listens to us.
Bad?
No, that everybody has computers. You know what I'm saying? He said to me, you know, look, I don't have a computer. I can't go to all these websites that you all talk about.
Oh, well, then
I don't blog. I need to get a phone number to call somebody. I need to get, you know, his whole thing was, we've kind of forgotten that there used to be another form of communication before.
Well, let me say something to those people out there that don't have computers.
Get one!
Yeah. Time to evolve. You know, you can fight the fight as long as you want, but pretty soon... He probably still has a ringer on his phone, your buddy.
That, yeah, he does.
With a bell and a dial.
No. He's got a slimline touch tone, I think. But, I mean, my younger brother doesn't have a computer either. And we kind of, at this point in our development... human beings, we kind of figure everybody has one now.
But, I mean, also, unfortunately, that is the way the communication works.
I know.
I mean, I don't know that a number would be helpful. I think that the way people get active and the way that you can immediately, you know, become part of a mailing campaign or become part of a petition, that the way they're set up is through websites. Now, unfortunately, for some people, that is just the way
people
communication
do things,
operates now. We are beholden to the great machines, my friend. There are some people whose only job in life is to facilitate communications between machines.
Yeah, well, you know, there are other people who believe that cell phones, websites, computers, the whole nine, are all the work of Satan.
You're right. I mean, I'd have an opinion on that, but let me Google it. I wish I had an opinion on that. Well, that's what we were talking about earlier before, is that literally, I think they're certainly robbing us of our ability to remember things.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to remember things.
You can always go back to it.
Yeah, and God forbid all the batteries and all go dead and all the electricity stops. People be wandering around wondering what their phone number is. But I guess it wouldn't matter. They'd have to figure out how to talk to each other again. But I don't know. Like, I used to know at least 5 or 6 phone numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to fight to remember certain phone numbers of even my friends, because what's the point?
I know the congressional switchboard phone number by heart.
You do?
202-224-3121.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I'm trying
to call any congressman, any senator, by calling that one number.
You can also go. There's no number. I don't have a number, but I'm going to try to get some numbers now for people who live in caves.
Well, we're defending the world against the onslaught of Satan.
That's true. Clearly it is Satan on some level. There's no doubt about that, that it's robbing humanity of their ability to think for themselves in a lot of ways. But www.declareyourself.com is a place you can go for information to register for to vote.
Yes.
It's very important you do this, and I've been saying this for a while, and I'm going to keep saying it, because I'm one of those people, relatively smart person, relatively engaged with the process, consider myself reactive and active in politics, but a lot of times in my past I have not voted because I thought it wouldn't make a difference. But the truth of the matter is, in this election, it's going to make a difference. The more people that register, the more people that vote, hopefully. You dig? We got to make it happen, because this 15% undecided thing, you know, is getting a little tired. And I think we can surprise this administration if people just snuck out and registered and then, you know, in mass just came down. It'd be amazing if even half of the people in this country voted.
I predict this will happen this time, and that the election will not be as close as the pollsters now say it is. John Kerry will walk away with it.
I hope so.
That's my prediction.
It's laziness is all it is. Inaction is really laziness. It's one of those things that you can put off, you put off, you put off, you put off, until eventually you're going to have to clean those underpants.
Yeah, and you can't go dancing all day on election day, all right?
Yeah. It's just laziness. It's like laundry. Yeah, like I was just making a bad joke. But, you know, it's really, it just becomes this thing where all of a sudden it's the day before and you're like, damn. I didn't pour
the bleach in my underwear.
Oh, very important.
It is
very
crucially important.
We have some interesting guests coming up, and we're going to engage in a conversation before they come up. We have a Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. He's the Imam of Masjid Al-Farah Mosque in New York City. And, you know, because I don't know a lot about the Muslim faith. I don't know a lot about Islam. I certainly don't know what American Muslims are thinking right now in relation to, you know, the world events. I don't know what moderate Muslims are thinking in relation to the world events and the difference between the two. And I'm fairly in the dark about some of this stuff, because I have not pursued any religion with any great fervor. I just choose to detach, eat M&Ms, and drink coffee.
Well, I think we need to know, as Americans, more about the Islamic faith. How it differs from Christianity, how it differs from Judaism, why it differs, particularly with Judaism, on so many issues, and get an understanding of where people are coming from.
I've always believed that if you really believe in a specific faith, that it's very, I mean, tolerance is one thing, but I have to assume that if you really believe, whether it's whatever your religion is, if you really believe in a specific faith in God, that the other faiths in your mind somewhere are wrong. I mean,
wrong, inferior. I don't know where you draw the line.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, you know, there's a part of, like, if you're like a core Christian or a core Jewish person, you can go, hey, you know, I think everyone should have the freedom to practice whatever religion they want. But of course, in their secret self, they're going, you're wrong.
Your religion sucks.
I think one of the elements of belief is that, you know, if it is deep, it has to dismiss the other ones as being, you know, either wrong or misguided.
I must be shallow then, because I think there's room for every belief system under the sun as long as it's not involved in hurting people.
Okay, but doesn't that deter from the depth of the belief?
No.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what we were talking about before in turn.
You mean I can't do my plea for world peace now?
No, I want world peace.
I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding, Barry. Please, don't pay me any money.
I'm one of these people that believes religion should just be a hobby.
There
you
go.
There's no reason to take it so seriously.
Colin Powell!
Yeah, okay.
Colin Powell.
That's an interesting shift. I thought we were going to talk about the Nation of Islam. Maybe we should put Colin Powell up till after the interview.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah.
Because we were talking a little bit about this. You said some interesting things, that the actual person who started the Nation of Islam that people know through Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad was started by a fairly...
Farad Muhammad.
Right, an interesting personality that no one really knows much about.
Right. Farad Muhammad apparently was a peddler in Detroit and used to go to people's homes.
Time frame?
Late 20s, early 30s, during the Depression,
okay,
when times were very tight, and people would buy from house to house or apartment to apartment peddlers because they had good prices on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Farad Muhammad began espousing this whole belief system that was based on the idea that the white man was a devil, and I don't want to misspeak about all of its antecedents, but, you know, and really in a community that consumed a great deal of pork,
okay,
in the black community of the Depression, said to people that you can change your life if you stop eating pork.
Right.
Okay. Elijah Muhammad was one of the early converts to this belief system.
Yeah.
And then became the person after Farad Muhammad mysteriously disappeared. Nobody seemed to know, even to this day, what happened to Farad Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad took up the gauntlet and began to recruit very directly in the prisons of America. Now, you don't know how powerful it is for a person to say to a jailer, I can't eat pork.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it becomes more than just a dietary choice. When you're in jail, being able to say to someone, I must eat something different, is a very powerful statement.
Interesting. And also that pork within the black community at the time was a staple.
It was an absolute staple. Chitlins and those. I mean, this was something that was an unfortunate legacy of slavery.
Right.
Black people, in many instances, had to eat the worst parts of the pig, not just the pig. They didn't get pork chops and bacon.
Right.
It was the snouts, and it was the tails, and it was the feet, pig's feet.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all of these different things.
I've eaten some pig shins myself.
Yeah, there you go. And at a point, Elijah Muhammad based his pitch to the black community, because he knew that the black community was not necessarily going to go for Islam just based on Islam.
Right.
Because black people had been Christianized, obviously.
Right.
So his thing was to set up a belief system that, on the one hand, portrayed whites as a devil and really answered a lot of questions about the condition of black people in the country with all the racism at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And offer black people a way out of that condition.
Interesting. So we're gonna talk to the imam, Faisal Abdul, and because interesting, African Americans make up 30% of the American Muslim community. We'll talk to him about a lot of different things and more when we come back here on Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry, I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog too.
LegalTees.net, the website where you'll find the t-shirts that are funny, whimsical, political, and maybe even controversial. Do you know why sharks don't attack lawyers? I speak basic. What do you speak? To find the answers, go to LegalTees.net. That's LegalTees.net. You can choose computer tees, legal tees, political tees, or custom make your own shirt. Go to LegalTees.net and decide for yourself.
You will not be considered unpatriotic if you disagree with our shirts.
Wouldn't it be great if some things were more convenient, like income tax preparation?
Please select the second window for your refund.
Unfortunately, not everything can be convenient, but Radio Shack is. With over 7,000 stores, there's probably one in your neighborhood where you'll find the helpful service you want, plus the latest electronics, accessories, wireless phones, and gift ideas. So even though we'd all like a little more convenience...
Yeah, I'm here to take your driver's license photo.
It's nice to know Radio Shack really offers it. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
Hey people, it's Mike Church from Sirius's Talk Central. You know, back in the day, they had this thing called the Monroe Doctrine. But now we're going to have this thing called the Church Doctrine. You'll get to hear
Florida Church Doctrine every day on Sirius Right. Yeah. Bring on John Kerry. Bring on Johnny Beefcake Edwards and whoever the left-wing loonies want to bring on. Because I can't be fought. I can't be reasoned with.
You can do that when you know you're right.
The Church Doctrine. Cut that out. Weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Conservative Talk Sirius Right 142.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month,
yes,
and your desire to just, you know, ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you are, you know, if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, you know, 4 or 5 months. To change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
Good morning. Good morning, geniuses, poets, philosopher kings and queens. Hello, Mark Riley.
Hello, Mark Maron.
Morning's edition, Air America Radio. They're blogging away. I got to answer a question in a minute, but this is an interesting point, and I'm going to do my dream diary. The central practices of religions is the essential thing. That is meditation and following moral precepts to establish a better foundation for the meditative practice. Everything else is window dressing. Ironic that fundamentalists care about everything but the fundamentals. That comes to us from a blogger. So, yes, Espen, occasionally I do read these posts from the blog. But I'm no blog bitch, and we are talking about the issues because we're fighting for our lives. My therapist is out of town.
Uh-oh.
But they're stacking up. Here's last night's. I'm riding a shiny red tricycle, tassels on the handlebars, cards in the spokes. That's the good news. Unfortunately, I'm riding my shiny red tricycle in the middle of an earthquake. I'm pedaling like a madman because directly behind my back tires, all the pavement is crumbling away into an abyss. Behind me, buildings are collapsing, and the earth is buckling, and the sky is filled with smoke and ash, lightning and thunder, and the clouds are raining sheets of blood. But in front of me, everything is green and peaceful, and the bluebirds are singing. So I keep pedaling, got to get to the bluebirds. I'm not getting any closer, and my shorts are starting to ride up. Suddenly, time and space freeze. The pavement stops crumbling behind me. The bluebirds stop singing in mid-song. My shorts stop riding up in mid-crack. Then a bell tolls, and George W.'s glowing head appears in the sky like a sun. And the bush sun says, Mark, behind you is the past, before you is the future, or vice versa, whatever. What I'm saying is, we've turned a corner. I say, it's nice, but what about all that? And I point to the miles of wreckage burning behind me, and the bush sun says, are you going to go negative? Because if you want to go negative, I can go negative. I say, no, I just want things to get better. When am I going to reach the bluebirds, George? I'm pedaling as hard as I can. And the bush sun says, you have to earn the bluebirds, Mark, like I did. I yell, but your dad gave you 5 million bluebirds for your 18th birthday. You never earned a bluebird in your whole life. And the bush sun says, that's class warfare, okay, smart guy? You want a bluebird? Here it comes. So the bush sun threw a bluebird down from the sky so fast that it bounced off the sidewalk and I accidentally ran over it with my shiny red tricycle. And the bush sun says, typical Democrat, you finally give them what they want and then they break it. And the bush sun disappeared and the clouds gathered and almost immediately I was surrounded by wreckage and red rain. After a couple of minutes, the bluebird got up, shook his head, looked at me and said, don't call me, I'll call you.
and he flew off faster than I could ever, ever pedal. I woke up and my bed was filled with hedge trimmers. I like it when Riley does the response here. All right. that's great, Mark.
Hey, hey.
Good luck with all that.
3 weeks, huh?
Well, yeah. I know. You're telling me. All right. Right now, we have the Imam. Sorry, I got to get this right. The Imam of the Masjid Al-Farah Mosque in New York City. He's going to talk about a lot of elements about Islam and terrorism and American Islam. Faisal Abdul Rauf is with us. Good morning, Imam Faisal.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
Good morning, sir.
I'm wonderful.
Good. So now, there's been some activity up in Albany where some of these cats were arrested through a mosque. What are your thoughts regarding charities and mosques involved in terrorist activities, sir?
Well, I mean, the general Muslim community is troubled by whatever elements of extremism has arisen within our communities, both locally and overseas,
mm-hmm.
and certainly would like to see a more robust ability to police ourselves.
So moderate Muslims believe that this extreme behavior is obviously negative. And what else do American Muslims believe in relation to the more fanatical elements and violent elements of Islam?
Well, I mean, the vast majority, 99.999%, I mean, the extremists are no more than a hundredth of a percent of the vast majority of the Muslim population, which really shares the same basic values of all religions, which is the primary commandment to love God and to love your neighbor, which is to love all of humanity. The reasons that have fueled extremism in the Muslim world have more to do with politics, with socioeconomics, with what you referred to earlier as a certain amount of what is viewed as class warfare or class distinctions in
mm-hmm.
some of the countries of the Muslim world, which principles are actually against the notions of justice. In the United States, for example, when we feel wronged, we say this is unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
In the Muslim world, when people feel wrong or social injustice, they say this is un-Islamic.
Right.
And therefore, the response to that, it's a language issue, and which really relates to how people see themselves and how they articulate their notions of social justice. So when people say they want an Islamic state, what they really mean most of the time, they want the rule of law, they want an independent judiciary, they want elements of social justice, which is why in most of the countries of the Muslim world, people are anxious to emigrate to the West.
So how do Americans reconcile these two things? I mean, how do they change the language so it doesn't alienate Americans of other religions or secular Americans?
Well, we need a paradigm shift here. Like when a couple comes to me for marital counseling, mm-hmm. I say, look, if your paradigm is you want me to condemn the other side and the wife wants you to condemn the husband for what he's done, we're never going to get a resolution of the conflict. But if there's a desire to turn around the relationship, then we have to create a win-win situation. And my task as a person who is both from the West and the East, from the Muslim world and the Western world, is to help each side understand the language of the other. It's like, you know, again, to use the analogy of the husband-wife, when men say certain things, women hear it differently, or they don't hear it the way men intend it, and vice versa. And there's a fair amount of that has been going on and continues to go on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is where the role of, as I point out in my book, I don't know if you've mentioned my book, but I have a book that just came out called What's Right with Islam, in which I point out that we really want the same things, but we use words which evoke the opposite or evoke fears in the minds of the other. So when Americans hear Islam, for example, they think, you know, stoning of women, oppression of women, which is actually not true at all. And which is not to say those things don't exist, but they exist in violation of Islamic principles.
Well, that's good to know.
Our guest is Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. I wanted to ask you about that. And again, he is the author of the book, What's Right with Islam, A New Vision for Muslims and the West. Very quickly, why do you think it is, Imam, that there are so many people who see the Islamic faith as treating women as less than equal?
Well, I mean, it has to do more with gender relationships through certain societies in history. What many Americans forget or don't remember is that there have been five Muslim heads of state. Indonesia, Turkey, Pakistan, and Bangladesh Bangladesh has had two women heads of state.
Imam, will you hold that thought? Because we got to take a break. We're going to come back with you after the break.
Okay, great.
Fantastic. Again, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf is our guest. When we come back, we'll talk with him. Talk with you on the phone at 866-303-2270. Plus, the War on Brains and Iraq, Birth of a Nation, here on Air America Radio. Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, musculoskeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person, and so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it, too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says Americans should heed caution amid all the talk about restructuring the intelligence community. Rumsfeld says any rush to change could have significant cost in security and quality. The defense secretary says every time you bust a stovepipe, you run the risk of information getting compromised. Meanwhile, the nonpartisan 9/11 Commission maintains that has been part of the problem. State Secretary Colin Powell says don't think for 1 minute that he would be among other Republicans heaping praise on the Bush-Cheney team at the upcoming national convention. Powell says he will not attend for traditional reasons, citing cabinet members are supposed to remain neutral in such highly charged political environments, but history has shown that exceptions have been made in the past and that other cabinet members will participate at the upcoming Republican Love Fest in New York. And the international security experts and other officials are concerned about the Bush administration's recent public disclosure about raising the terror alert system. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell them to get the Sirius Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. You already love Sirius. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Sirius.com under Business Subscriptions or call 888-539-SIRIUS.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. All this week, I'll be making heavenly matches between my favorite cars and your sun signs. When I come back, caroscopes for Sagittarius and Capricorn. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Sagittarius. Sag can now lasso their fearless, fiery drive and take their flat-out performance on the road. Like the half-human, half-horse Centaur, Chrysler's Crossfire uses its six-speed brain to ride the soon-offered 330 horses under the hood. An integrated, retractable spoiler automatically deploys at about 60. Giddy up! Capricorn. Nothing old gold about this new kid on the block, the historically best-selling and newly redesigned Ford F-150. Serious Capricorns who pay homage to those who have gone before will get in touch with their wild side, cruising or climbing in this redefined truck with optional moonroof, running boards, and a rear seat DVD. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Welcome. We are reaching out to people who are Muslim or interested in American Muslim beliefs and practices. 866-303-2270 is the phone number. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America. Our guest on the phone is Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. His book is What's Right with Islam, A New Vision for Muslims in the West. The topic we were talking about before we left are the treatment of women within the Islamic faith. And I believe, sir, you were talking about international leaders who were Muslim women.
Yes, I mean, what I was saying is that the nature of gender relationships and what is expected of each gender is really a function of sociology.
Mm-hmm.
And it has changed through as times have changed. When I came to this country in 1965, for instance, Women, you know, American women wouldn't wear pants. There are no women policemen.
Mm-hmm.
The notion, or you know, there are no male secretaries and female and male nurses, for example, at that time. The notions of what is acceptable or not acceptable for any gender to do is really a function of sociology more than it is of religion. And because sociology is very powerful, custom is powerful, these things have tended to be retained in certain societies. So while you go to some kind of Saudi Arabia, for example, where women do not drive, in Indonesia or in Turkey or in Bangladesh, you've had two heads of state.
Mm-hmm.
But these things, even within the Muslim world, are changing with the change that has been brought about by the Industrial Revolution, which really contributed to the change of gender roles in the West. We see many of the same things happening in the Muslim world.
Well, someone wants to make a comment on this on the phone here. We have Sultan on the phone who has a comment about women. Yes, sir. Sultan?
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum to the imam. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment because there's a misperception in the West as far as how Islam treats women. And I just want to say is most Americans do not know that mistreatment of women is forbidden in Islam, okay? The Prophet came about 1,400 years ago, and he gave women the right. Liberated the women, okay, and he allowed women to own property and things of that nature. A lot of the things that you see happening in Muslim women in those Arab countries basically comes back from the Arab cultures, is what the things that the Prophet tried to eliminate back in 1,400 years ago.
Thank you, Sultan, for your point, sir. Imam?
Yes, he's absolutely correct. I mean, the notion of at the Prophet's time, I mean, what he did in terms of granting women rights was considered revolutionary at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And just in yesterday's Wall Street Journal, there was an article about Moroccan women who were trying to gain more rights by articulating their rights from the principles of the Quran and from the principles of Islamic history.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, because Islam is a religion of law, the way you lobby or the way you struggle for your rights is to argue your case from within the principles of the law. Just like what we do in this country, we go all to the Supreme Court to argue a case, and we have two opposite parties arguing opposite viewpoints, but from within the same principles of jurisprudence and law.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how the argument has to be waged within the Muslim world today to amplify the principles of social justice and moderation, etc.
Imam Faisal, I have to ask you, because you hear this time and again in the American media, in the immediate aftermath of September 11th and in the aftermath certainly of the war in Iraq, a lot of Americans have questioned why more moderate Muslims did not condemn the activities of September 11th and condemn terrorism in general. Do the Americans who say this have a valid point, or is there a mythology about moderate Muslims not condemning terrorism?
Unfortunately, let me say this. Almost every country, with the exception of the Taliban at the time, condemned what happened in 9/11. Across the Muslim world, moderate Muslims, and in fact, in my fatwa, in my book, I even have an appendix where I quote a fatwa that was issued at the request of the chaplain, the Muslim chaplain of the U.S. Armed Forces.
Define fatwa for us, Imam, so people know what we're talking about.
Yeah, fatwa is a religious ruling. It is like a... when you go to the IRS court to issue a particular ruling on whether something is right or wrong according to the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the Muslim chaplain of the U.S. Armed Forces, so this is before the U.S. actually began the war in Afghanistan, wanted to know whether it was okay for Muslim soldiers in the U.S. Army to actually participate in hostilities because they would be fighting against fellow Muslims. And this fatwa was issued by five of the most well-known Islamic legal scholars in the Arab world, And it was not really amplified in this country. I actually had to beg the New York Times journalist to please give this thing, publish the whole fact. That wouldn't have taken more than a couple of columns in your Nation Challenge section.
Oh, so that's interesting. So you were some of the reason why we didn't hear a lot of that outcry. It wasn't covered in the press because
it was not amplified the way it should have been amplified. In the unfortunately, the media tends to want to focus on, as they say, those things that bleed, other things that lead.
Right. Let me ask you a more specific question. In relation to, I mean, it was clear that that reaction was to, the 9/11. But I have heard that after, Afghanistan, which was a justified, attack on terrorism in some respects, that once Americans went into Iraq, that the sympathy in the moderate Muslim world for the jihadist cause was amplified a bit. Did you see any of that?
Well, the real issue was not so much that. The real issue was that the arguments that were given to prosecute the war were not justified in the eyes of many, many people, not only the Arab and Muslim world, but even the non-Muslim world.
Yes.
I mean, France, Japan, Germany, and the approval ratings of the United States at the time of the way we prosecuted the Iraq war and thereafter. If you look at Pew polls and various other polls that have been done globally, have shown that there has been a great disagreement with the United States on the way it prosecuted the war.
Not
so much the removal of Saddam Hussein, but the arguments that were given were such that this is why even the American electorate has been deeply divided on this issue. Witness Fahrenheit 9/11 and even before the Fahrenheit 9/11. You see there has been a division not only in the American
even
in the U.S. administration between Colin Powell and the State Department and the Department of Defense.
No, I understand that. I guess my question was more that in Iraq, although it was a secular state when Saddam was there, there are many Muslim holy sites, not unlike in Saudi Arabia, and I just wondered if that caused some sort of reaction in the moderate Muslim world as opposed to, in terms of specifically the spirituality of Islam in some sort of backlash.
Well, the thing is this. I don't know if you've seen the documentary The Fog of War about Robert McNamara.
Yes. Yeah.
And which one of his lessons, his 11 lessons in that documentary, he says that proportionality should always be a rule in waging war. And there's a great sense that what happened in terms of destruction of civil society, mm-hmm. destruction of the of property, the looting of national treasures, the cost paid by the Iraqi people and society was not proportional to the objective of removing Saddam Hussein. This, I think, is a widespread feeling among many people that it could have been done far more efficiently, if you will.
Okay, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, thank you very much. The book is What's Right with Islam, A New Vision for Muslims and the West. We appreciate you being here.
Hey,
thank you,
something
sir.
Better than making the mark with the two marks.
Okay,
right. You thank you, Imam. You take care.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back with more on Air America Radio.
Sirius is at the Newport Jazz Festival. On August 14th and 15th, we'll bring you America's greatest outdoor jazz party direct from Rhode Island.
One more time.
This year is the 50th anniversary of the festival, and all the biggest stars are coming out to celebrate. Dave Brubeck, Herbie Hancock, Harry Connick Jr., Branford Marsalis, and many more. Don't miss this historic two-day event. It's Sirius live from the Newport Jazz Festival, August 14th and 15th, starting each day at noon Eastern on Pure Jazz 72.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
David DeBatto, re-up for military service, was rejected again, and then found a slot in Army Counterintelligence, where he has been serving as a special agent. Are you able to distinguish that there are many of us who have strong support for you and who feel that in many respects you were put in harm's way on a misguided mission?
First of all, I think that the men and women that are serving over there absolutely know why they're there. From what I have seen, they do not feel that they've been lied to. That's just the overwhelming sentiment over there. And again, that's coming from someone that's been over there and has just come back from over there. I also think that, they're a pretty wise group of folks. They do realize, and they can separate out, that the people that may disagree with the administration's policy, the reason why they were sent over to Iraq, can appreciate that they may be against the policy, but yet support the troops.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Immunizations prevent children from getting dangerous diseases like measles, polio, and mumps. But too many children aren't getting the immunizations they need. Parents can protect their children against 10 preventable childhood diseases in about 6 visits to the doctor. And most of them should happen before the child's 2 years old. So don't wait. Vaccinate. For more information, call 1-800-232-2522. 1-800-232-2522.
Tomorrow, leave home without it. Just once or even twice a week, leave your car parked and get around another way. Try taking mass transit, carpooling, walking, or biking. Not only will you save a lot of money and aggravation, you'll also help to reduce traffic congestion and pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
It was way too much for my body, and I started tripping really, really bad. I curled up in a ball in a corner, started ripping out my hair, then slit my wrist with a steak knife. Fell into a coma and had to get my stomach pumped. I'm now in therapy in a rehab group. At school, I'm not even called by my name anymore. People just refer to me as that junkie.
This 15-year-old didn't die using ecstasy, though she probably wished she had. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Hey, hey, hey. It's Wednesday morning. Hi, Mark Riley.
Hi, Mark Maron.
It's good to see you. It's Morning Sedition. It's Air America Radio. You know, I thought that Imam was pretty interesting, but on the last couple questions about moderate Muslim sympathy or alliance with radicals, he was, you know, he sort of kind of did, what do you call it, diverted, hedged a bit and diverted it into international resistance to the war. And I guess speculating, you know, that's either because, you know, some people within the moderate Muslim community are afraid of the more radical elements within the Muslim world, or that's just the party line on that. I maybe he doesn't have the complete pulse on that, but I felt that we didn't get quite to the core of that. And I, as a Jew, in some respects, you know, in terms of talking about Israel, in terms of, like, if you have a disagreement with the more radical elements of anyone's religion or, you know, it becomes a very difficult conversation to have.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. That's like, you know,
within your own community, let alone with
oh,
people
yeah.
who are outside the community.
Well, I mean, that's like with a lot of black people oppose gay marriage.
Right.
You know, same thing.
Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities in the Iraqis and America that the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 44. Leaders of Iraq. Hey, what's the matter? Okay. I want to talk to you about elections. Let's take a look at Afghanistan, a country that is just ahead of you on the American bomb and rebuild and establish a bogus democracy plan. Now, they've got 18 candidates running for president. That's exactly right, 18. That's way too many. But there are other ways to weed out the candidates. We call them primaries. Presidential primaries are full of people who couldn't possibly win a general election, like ideologues, radicals, women, and minorities. The primary process weeds them right out, and the remaining white men are further narrowed based on arbitrary criteria like their hair, their clothes, and whether they scream inappropriately at a rally. Eventually, you get it down to two major candidates and a third who will siphon up votes from one or one of the two. Okay. Now Afghanistan throws something interesting into the mix. Warlords. Yeah, I know there might be a couple of you there. In general, our candidates don't have armed militia surrounding them. I mean, you'd never confuse Dennis Kucinich with a warlord. And personally, I can't imagine Carol Moseley Braun at a rally brandishing a sword. So, when Iraq holds primaries, steer away from the warlord thing. Because in Iraq, there's only one warlord, and because in Iraq, there's only one warlord you need to worry about, and that's us. Yes. Until then, good luck. God bless. This is day 45 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Here you go, Riley. There, back in the chair.
There you go.
Back in the chair.
Absolutely. I'm leaving nothing to chance.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? It's interesting. Later in the show, in the next hour, we have Bob Baer, who's one of our favorite CIA cats. He's going to address the Goss.
Walter Goss.
The Goss.
Nomination.
There you go. Oh, my God. My brain just, like, skidding without, it's like on ice. And also, the author of The Trouble with Islam. It's interesting, we had
What's Right with Islam.
What's Right with Islam. And Irshad Manji, a woman who is going to be talking about her book, The Trouble with Islam, a Muslim's call for reform in her faith. So maybe we're going to hit her with some of those similar questions. Because I'm assuming she's a moderate Muslim.
Yeah, but I mean, she's maintained her faith. And you know, I'm still digesting something that you said earlier about faith itself, you know, about the whole idea of people who are deeply faithful or believe deeply in their faith kind of having to think that everybody else is just a little wrong. You know what I'm saying? You may be right. I mean, I never really thought about it that way. And, you know, whether my faith is deep or not, my immediate reaction is to say, well, I'm a tolerant person. I don't, you know, I'm not going to mess with anybody else's belief system. But maybe you're right. Maybe deep in everyone's head is not a disdain, but certainly just a feeling that you're just a little bit off.
Yeah,
because you don't believe exactly what I believe.
I wish you could know the truth. I mean, I understand whatever you're doing is working for you, but it's not quite the truth.
Quite the truth, yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's sort of like the differences in, you know, specific faith, you know, dogmatic faith, you know, religious faith. And, you know, everyone has a need to believe in something bigger than them. It's almost genetic in some ways. I mean, it's very easily triggered, you know, and you can do it with almost anything. Some people like sports. Some people like politics. Some people like Jesus. Some people like Allah, God, coffee. But, you know, when you get into the nuances of faith and the discipline of faith and the rules and all that other kind of stuff, I have to assume that if your belief is that deep within one specific faith, that you have to, on some level, believe that other faiths are, you know, fine, perhaps, but not quite right. We'll talk more about that. We're going to hit the Colin Powell stuff after this break here on Air America Radio.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
Add $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004. New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
Something new's just come to town. Bigger, bolder, brassier than anything you've ever heard before. They got names, big names. Riggins, Banks, Reeves, plus a posse of pros. And they're bringing the big guns of the NFL to Sirius. Live 24/7. All NFL, all the time. NFL Radio. Sirius 124.
Welcome to Classes on Tape.
Okay.
Repeat the following phrase. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Son, you're so proud. And that's a great test.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The music's always been sacred. The rest of my life was not. First time a guy gave me a shot of dope, I got beat. A little bit later, I got a good one. That was what I was chasing for many, many years after that. I had so many worse days on drugs, I knew I had a problem.
Hey, now this is Dr. Jones with a message from MAP and a partnership for a drug-free America.
Shows tropical storms just south of Louisiana coast.
At the Red Cross, just a few hours of your time helps make countless services possible. Whether you'd like to help out on the front lines or behind the scenes, the There's something everyone can do to help prepare people in your community. Join the Red Cross and become part of something bigger than us all. To get involved, contact your local American Red Cross or visit www.redcross.org.
It's all going to be all right, right?
Absolutely.
I love when people answer things with a question. It's going to be good, right?
Right.
That's Mark Riley. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. And every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mort Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Ralphie May. Dateline, Langhorne, Pennsylvania, August 11th. The crusade against brains continues, this time with First Lady Laura Bush bringing up the rear, replenishing the withering supply lines of stupid, depleted by her husband's administration. This Crawford crabapple says stem cell research is immoral and accuses scientists of overstating the potential for medical breakthroughs. Admittedly, the First Lady's respect for God's creations and her expertise in human anatomy is impressive. Having at the precocious age of 17, skillfully run her daddy's Chevrolet sedan past the stop sign and through the awaiting torso of another driver. Back then, superstitious haters of science might have labeled such revolutionary medical experimentation manslaughter. But since this was Texas, the future Lady McBush got off without a citation or even the customary, "What the hey?" Shameful. Ignominious. Years later, she would marry a man with equal respect for the sanctity of human life, George W. Bush. Destroyer of billions of brain cells and coiner of the now infamous phrase, "One brain cell death is a tragedy." Tragedy, excuse me. A million is a statistic. Hairball. Together they would share their fascination for religious fundamentalism and executing the retarded. Such became the ingredients of their perverted, twisted love. Their Xanadu. Today, Laura and her eighth grade reading level president run rampant across the countryside with rational thought, firing volley upon volley of dumbass bullets at shining hopes like stem cell research, research that could someday cure such diseases as diabetes and Alzheimer's, and more importantly, a rare and annoying malady where people can only speak while inhaling. Anyway, the struggle continues. Freedom fighters, read, write, resist. The War on Brains.
Oh, no. Mort Milfington.
All right, Ralphie May.
Great to see you. Thanks for coming down, Mert.
Wow.
That's some deep stuff, man.
That is some deep stuff. Do we have enough time to talk about...
Let's just do it. Let's lay it out.
Colin Powell. Our favorite moderate black man.
Yeah. He's not going to... He's not going to
go. He's not going to the Republican convention. Now, I remember...
Alan Keyes is probably going.
Yeah, Alan Keyes probably keynoting. Rod Paige is speaking. He's speaking on the second night of the convention. Uh-huh. So if it's a matter of members of the cabinet not going, that doesn't seem to make sense. Everybody from Elizabeth Dole to Gene Kirkpatrick have been cabinet members and spoken at
the
convention.
Well, they're trying to make it look like it's some sort of protocol. I mean,
there is no protocol.
Right. Certainly not for him to not show up.
But I was there 4 years ago in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I know why he's not showing up.
Why?
I remember how hostile the delegates on the floor were.
Okay.
His speech in 2000 when he stood up for both abortion and affirmative action.
Mm.
And I heard someone say on the floor, "We don't need no Colin Powell telling us how to do affirmative action in our state." I don't know what state that was. I can't remember.
It could be any number of states.
Yeah, I know. 11 to be exact.
That's
but anyway.
Generic tone of intolerance.
Yeah. And I think Colin Powell, quite frankly, knows that the delegates that are going to be coming to this convention, who are the activist delegates, are generally far more conservative than he is.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to have to go through addressing them and hearing them badmouth them afterwards.
Yeah, but yet they're having Schwarzenegger. They're having, who's the other person that's speaking? They're having some sort of, you know, moderate Hollywood-y kind of speakers there.
Well, the other thing is, of course, there's always been that nagging doubt about whether Colin Powell was fully behind Bush on the war.
Yeah, well, that's it.
And
also,
that's something that I don't think Bush necessarily wants
to remind people. And also whether or not they set him up.
Yeah.
You know, they set him up with information that was coerced out of Tenet, and they made him go out and do that dance in front of the UN, knowing full well that it might not have been legitimate stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he took a big bullet for these guys, and I'm sure he's got to be pissed off about it.
Well, I wouldn't. Would you be happy?
Yeah, no way, dude.
Absolutely not. In our next hour of Morning's Edition, former CIA officer Robert Baer on Porter Goss, Recovery Corner, Irshad Manji, author of The Trouble with Islam, and The Presidential Palm Pilot, all for you here on Air America Radio.
Throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep. That's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way!
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Old way.
I've been hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is issuing a word of caution over the swirling talk about restructuring the intelligence community. Rumsfeld appears to be taking the stance that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. While addressing reporters before a week-long visit to the Middle East, Rumsfeld said he supports President Bush's decision for a new national intelligence director with limited powers. Rumsfeld also railed against criticism by some on the issue of information sharing of intelligence matters. The defense secretary says the practice of keeping stovepipes an intelligence committee term for threats for classified information secret from another intelligence agency may in fact be a good thing. Rumsfeld says such information sharing would compromise security. At the same time, he said it would lead to leaks, putting intelligence sources at risk. Rumsfeld did not respond to criticism from the international community on the Bush administration's recent leak on the significance of the arrest of terrorist suspect Mohammad Naeem Noor Khan in Pakistan. Forget about the State Secretary Colin Powell making an appearance at the upcoming Republican National Convention. Powell says tradition will keep him on the sidelines because, as he put it, cabinet members are required to stay neutral at such highly charged political events. Powell told a recent journalism convention that he was asked not to attend along with other cabinet members, but no explanation was given on why Education Secretary Rod Paige was excused and remains scheduled to address the Republican Love Fest. Powell has had his ups and downs with the president during the course of his first term in office. Washington Times is reporting that a high-profile political assassination linked to the public release of a new message from Osama bin Laden will lead off the next major al-Qaeda terrorist attack. U.S. intelligence officials have been confirmed as the source of the report. The assassination plot is among new details of al-Qaeda plots disclosed by U.S. officials familiar with the intelligence. The intelligence community is saying the killing could be carried out against a U.S., a foreign leader, either in the United States or abroad. Georgia Congresswoman Denise Majette appears to be one step closer to becoming the state's first black U.S. senator. Majette beat out white businessman Cliff Oxford in one of two racially mixed pairings on the state ballot in yesterday's runoff elections. With 91% of the precincts counted, Majette was leading Oxford by 35,000 votes. She now faces what many say will be a tough battle with Representative Johnny Isakson for the seat being vacated by retiring Senator Zell Miller. There was another racially mixed pairing in Georgia yesterday. This for the congressional seat held by retiring Representative Matt Collins in the state's 8th district. In the Republican contest, white veteran state lawmaker Lynn Westmoreland put down a challenge by a young black former White House aide Dylan Glenn, who had the support of former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jim Brewer.
Raw Dog, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Jim Brewer unleashed with my good friend Pete Corielli and the gang. There'll be no strippers.
There'll be no cinnamon.
There'll be no hookers.
Hey, Daddy.
There'll be no midgets. There'll be no delinquents.
Off the leash.
What's up?
I'm gonna come over there and punch you in the snot box, Charlie.
Come hang out. Jim Brewer, unleashed. Friday night, 6 p.m.
Raw Dog.
Where what? Yeah.
Sirius 147.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with another Car Clinic Minute. Keys? Check. New car smell? Check. Contract? Check. You struck your best new car deal, but I'll bet you didn't figure on this. When I come back, I'll ensure you don't miss a very important calculation. I'm Bobby Ligas with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG 44K or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You just think you figure the cost of your new car, but don't put away that calculator yet. The added value of insurance could put a heavy drain on your checkbook. Vehicle color, sunroofs, stereo, and tinted windows don't count. But price, body type, rag tops, and weight compute to heavy dollars, as in hundreds every year. So tally the total cost of car ownership. Choose a vehicle, then compare rates among makes, models, and insurance companies. Since 37% of consumers interviewed plan to buy new cars within the next year, this advice will really add up. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found the need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, 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 blah. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
Next.
In my state of the union,
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
Ha!
Uh-huh.
Wednesday morning, that's Mark Riley and Mark Meredith's Morning Sedition. As you know, this is Air America Radio.
Yo.
Porter Goss, nominated to be the head of the CIA amidst a flurry of controversy here at Morning Sedition. We've done some reporting. We've done some speculating. We think that this is a political move. Obviously, that's no big genius there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been coming for a while, right, Mark? And we're going to talk to Bob Baer in moments.
Yes.
To see if we can confirm any of our suspicions, which are essentially what?
Our suspicions are that this was a political move
to speak to Bush's erosion of support in the critical area of the war on terror. That he was losing ground to John Kerry. He needed to take some kind of decisive action short of naming an intelligence czar and giving that czar some actual guts and teeth in terms of budget and in terms of authority.
Yep.
So rather than do all that, name Porter Goss, put the Democrats in the position if they try and present any obstacles to his confirmation as being obstructionist, as being, less than patriotic, of not being down with the war on terror.
And then there's also the Rumsfeld issue in terms of money. We'll talk to him. Let's get him on the phone right now. Joining us by phone from Silverton, Colorado, is former CIA officer Robert Baer. He's the author of Sleeping with the Devil, and he's a frequent guest on our show. Good morning, Robert.
Morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So what do you think of Porter Goss's appointment? I mean, what's it mean?
Oh, it's a political act. I mean, he's not going to go in and change the CIA, of course, which we really need, because the place is completely, totally broken. He needed an interim or just a name to put out there to show that he's doing something about the CIA. Everybody in this country knows it failed. And by not having a director, you know, it's this continuity of failure. And so he had to put a name out there, and he had to put the name of a loyalist.
So he had to take action because the commission said he had to take action, and he's not honoring the commission at all. As a matter of fact, he's sort of going against it because the commission criticized Congress, and he's a congressman, and he's part of the Intelligence Oversight Committee that was criticized by the 9/11 commission.
Well, he didn't want the commission from the beginning,
yeah.
and then he tried to appoint Henry Kissinger, of all people.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that was just...
Oh, come on. I remember that was ridiculous.
It was a total act of absurdity.
He's like the Dark Prince.
There's no way that guy was ever going to tell the truth.
Right. And still not. And you say he's really, there's no way he can begin to even fix the CIA.
No, he can't. He will never be able to stand up to Rumsfeld.
Right.
Rumsfeld has 9/10 of the budget. He's got the National Security Agency. He owns the satellites, which are so crucial for intelligence. Porter Goss, he's a nice guy, by the way, but he can't stand up to him. And the reason Bush wanted him, as I said, he's a loyalist. He will not drag any more scandals out into the public before November.
Robert Baer, explain something to me. George Tenet's resignation was announced on June 3rd. 13 days later, Porter Goss introduced a piece of legislation in the House that would have shifted a lot of the intelligence budget, now valued at something on the order of $40 billion a year, to the head of the CIA. Did he know something then that we don't know?
Oh, I think so. I think he could see the writing on the wall. He's been after this position for years.
Ah.
He likes the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, he knew that Bush had to appoint somebody. I mean, it was clear at the time. You can't leave a gap in intelligence like this when you're saying that Kayyad is coming to get us.
Right. Let me ask you a question about Rumsfeld. All right, this is a guy that says he wants to keep everything separate. He doesn't want anyone overseeing all the intelligence agencies. He thinks that is antithetical to getting good intelligence and to stopping leaks. But it seems like this administration not only it leaks, and also that it would seem to me that if there was some cohesion among the agencies, 9/11 could have been stopped.
Rumsfeld doesn't understand intelligence.
Okay.
He set up an intelligence unit in the Pentagon headed by Doug Feith when they were doing what's called data mining, which meant go find a source who agreed with your position, which in the case is Ahmad Chalabi, who's now been indicted in Iraq for counterfeiting. And his cousin, who Rumsfeld put ahead of the tribunal for Saddam, has been indicted for a murder.
Right.
I mean, this is what data mining is.
It's almost like sort of mild coercion.
Well, it's more like Monty Python. I mean, they've been...
Oh, wow. That's deep. Robert Baer, what do you think is going to be the fate of the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission now that Porter Goss has been named head of the CIA? There was one report, Scott McClellan would not rule out the possibility that Goss himself might end up being named the intelligence czar. But what about some of these other recommendations, specifically budget shifts and shifts in authority?
You have to have budget shifts. A DCI without control of the budget is ineffective. Because, as I said, let's take satellites. They are so important because whoever's in control of the satellites says what they're going to look at.
Right.
So if you're looking for bin Laden, you know, you got so much satellite time, as much as you need. But if that's in the hands of the Pentagon and they're looking at Bosnia, for instance, to find out what the Serb radicals are doing, you're in charge of intelligence, and this is what's happened to the Pentagon. And then not only that, the CIA today in Iraq is completely beholden to the Pentagon to stop this resistance, which, of course, they can't, but the DCI is fairly ineffective.
Wow.
So, but the CIA is not supposed to be beholden to the Pentagon, is it?
No, it wasn't intended to be, but that happened. That's happened over the course of years, you know, since Beirut in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
It went on. They established the mission, which was to support the military.
So, who would you have liked to have seen a CIA director?
Well, here's the irony. I would have liked to have seen a strong, independent general who had finished his career, wasn't afraid to tell the truth. Somebody like Norman Schwarzkopf, someone who doesn't like intelligence.
Right.
Really?
And he was one. Oh, he hated the CIA. He said he was just furious in the first Gulf War.
So why would you want him?
Because he's not afraid of anybody. I mean, we need a George Patton to come in there and say, you know, speak the truth to power.
And shave up the agency itself and then not be afraid to
And cut out and fire people. I mean, no one's been fired since 9/11 or for weapons of mass destruction.
No one's been fired from the cabinet either. Someone should have stepped down.
Someone should have been fired.
I mean, absolutely.
At least it's a lesson.
Yeah. We're talking to Robert Baer. He's a former CIA officer. His book is Sleeping with the Devil. What about this leak of the Al-Qaeda informant, the Khan leak?
Oh, well, see, that's the politicization of intelligence. You never let a source's name out.
To regroup after they were criticized for putting out a politicized terror threat, right?
These guys are very smart. They're going to switch tactics.
Right.
They know what this guy had in his computer. They know what he's going to say. And if he's been cooperative, other people that are likely to come over, and there's not many of them, are going to say, forget it, I'm going to find my name in the press.
But right, exactly. So did they, in essence, their actions detrimental to the war on terror for this leak? They decided to choose politicization over actually fighting the war on terror?
Everything's been politicized since 9/11 because we know so little about the group that attacked us on that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Baer, real quickly, has George W. Bush put particularly Senate Democrats in a corner where they are going to have to confirm Porter Goss, even though 6 weeks ago they sent a letter to Bush saying that he was unacceptable?
Oh, that's my call, because it's an easy argument for people who don't really follow the news that closely. If you look, that the Democrats are impeding the work of the CIA. It needs to be reformed. This guy's an ex-CIA officer. He knows the place inside and out. He likes it. He's been on the Intelligence Committee. And if you don't confirm quickly, you are the people impeding the war on terror. And that's an argument the Democrats will lose.
Can I just ask you a quick question about the Naeem Noor Khan thing, Mohammed Naeem Noor Khan? Do you think that with the release of his name that Pakistan will continue to help us? And do you think that Khan's, if he was, you know, kept an informer, could have led us to bin Laden?
I think that, you know, that Pakistan's on an edge. And clandestine work like this must remain clandestine, mm-hmm. and especially relations between us and Pakistan. None of these names should have been released of the arrests,
right?
Including the mastermind. We're putting Musharraf, the president, in a very difficult position by releasing all this information. He looks like he's an American agent now.
Right, and could you think we could have got bin Laden with some of the information if this guy would have stayed undercover?
Oh, that's a hard call, because he has so much sympathy in the area he lives in, which is probably the northwest frontier province.
That's what makes it so hard to find him. Robert Baer, thank you so much for being with us again. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, take it easy. We'll be back with more of the news. What do we got coming up? What are we going to talk about when we come back? Let's tell them what we're going to talk about. You got any ideas?
Well, we got a bunch of stuff that we can still talk about.
Rashad Manji coming up, too.
Yes, that's right.
She's a woman, a feminist, and still practicing Muslim. We'll be back after this on Air America Radio.
Every day, Americans play a game. The stakes are very high.
Now stepping to the plate, the Smith family going for a home loan. The loan officer's checking their credit report. This one's going to be close.
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and find out how to get your credit report instantly and online for free.
It's a home run.
Log on to freecreditreport.com and win the biggest game of your life. freecreditreport.com.
To the discriminating driver, a luxurious driving experience isn't an option as much as a requirement. That's why Goodyear developed the new Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. Not only does this tire offer a distinct upscale appearance, it delivers a smooth, quiet, comfortable ride. Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. It's the ultimate accessory for your luxury vehicle. For complete details and the retailer nearest you, call 1-800-GOODYEAR.
Before Shock Jocks.
All right, enough about that. Tell me about your pants.
Before Morning Zoo.
It's 720 on the Big Boss Hour. That's right, we're stuck to sex.
Before liberal and conservative talk.
Tree hugger.
Warmonger.
There was a golden age of radio, and Sirius Radio Classics recreate that era with shows from the original comedy greats like Abbott and Costello, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Burns and Allen, plus old radio serials like Dragnet and The Lone Ranger. Travel back to the real glory days. Sirius Radio Classics. 133.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Melvin A. Goodman, professor of international security at the National War College.
I don't think there's ever been a greater intelligence scandal than the one we're living through. This is, to me, worse than the intelligence failure at Pearl Harbor, worse than the intelligence failure with regard to not understanding the weakness of the Soviet Union. In some ways, it's worse than 9/11, which was indeed an intelligence failure in which 3,000 people died. But to take this country to war, to manipulate the Congress of the United States, to manipulate the American people, and it's still being done, even though David Kay made it clear that essentially every intelligence assessment of the CIA was wrong. Where I disagree with Mr. Kay is that he believes that George Bush was a victim of this intelligence, which I think really is somewhat naive and nonsensical on David Kay's part. Bush wasn't the victim of this intelligence. He was the one who manipulated this intelligence.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
The International Reading Association is a professional membership organization dedicated to promoting high levels of literacy for all. Their objective is to improve and encourage a lifetime reading habit. With members and affiliates in 99 countries, their network extends to more than 300,000 people worldwide. For more information about the International Reading Association, please go to www.reading.org.
It's Wednesday morning. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
Morning's edition on Air America Radio. Thank you, geniuses, for listening. Appreciate it. I'd like to say hi to all the haters. How's that grab you? Don't you just hate me? Listen to me. Hate me. Is there anyone out there that, like, just the sound of my voice makes them, like, clinch and uncomfortable? Well, how about a little more of it? Blah-de-blah, blah-blah, blah. Hey, right now I got the president's palm pilot that came to us earlier, along with a picture of a butt.
Ramon.
From Ramon, yeah. Here's the president's schedule for today. 7 o'clock a.m., wake up, stay on message. Sure, Kerry fought in Vietnam, but on whose side? Pause for emphasis, wait for applause, smirk. 10 a.m. fly to New Mexico. Note, despite the confusing name, this is part of the United States. 12 noon, arrive in Albuquerque. Visit Marin's dad. Hey, wait a minute. Tell him if he doesn't do something about that kid's mouth, I will. 1:50 p.m., speak at Ask President Bush event, Albuquerque. Have Karl Rove plant someone in the audience to ask, is it possible for regular Americans like me to contribute to your campaign? And if so, how? 3 p.m., tell Southwestern voters Kerry hates turquoise, silver bracelets, sun tea, sizzling chicken fajitas, and poignant paintings of weary Indian warriors. 5 p.m., arrive in Phoenix, broiling heat, dust everywhere. God, I wish I was back in Crawford. 6 p.m., speak at campaign rally in Phoenix, make speech ridiculing global warming in 115-degree heat. 11 p.m., bedtime, think happy thought. Headline, quote, re-elected President Bush says paying attention no longer necessary. End quote.
Ah, yeah.
So Robert Baird basically confirmed everything that we were talking about and speculating about and theorizing about.
Yep, he did. He actually confirmed, A, that the Goss appointment was blatantly political.
Yes.
B, that Goss is not going to be able to make any substantive reforms within the intelligence organization. And that Goss's appointment indicates that George W. Bush, contrary to what he says out of his mouth, is not going to implement the substance of the September 11th Commission recommendation.
So this is, as Dan Pashman, son of Louis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, says, is the war on the war on terror.
That's exactly what it is.
Being waged by our administration against itself and the American people.
You know, you gave his name away, you know, but if Bush is visiting your dad, Pashman could have problems next. He could have a campaign swing through New Jersey and meet with Lewis and Linda.
So you can go look at Pashman's picks if they're up. He's been pulling. He does a lot of our research, and he pulls a lot of articles and commentary, and some of the more poignant stuff or stuff that he decides is worthy, he will post on our links page.
Yeah.
Morningsedition.com. A lot of that might revolve around Bruce Springsteen.
Now, you also, by the way, he prints stuff so that you all don't have to print the same stuff on the blog. I've seen the Declaration of Independence on that blog site. I mean, stuff like 20 pages long.
People's PhD, doctorate thesis.
Not that we don't love all of you, you know.
Yeah, they're good.
But
they're
all
good. There's some issue. I'm not gonna get involved with the blog because I don't look at it.
Sure you don't.
So, dude, I mean, now what do we go? Oh, yeah, where's that story? I love that story. Now I can't find
it. Oh, the DVD guy?
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah. This is a deep story, by the way.
You talk for a minute. Right?
Well, what it was, you know, we reported the story the other day. A guy was charged criminally for causing an accident while watching his DVD player
in Alaska.
In his car.
And it was a fatal collision, but the dude was acquitted, but it doesn't say why it was acquitted. It's just amazing to me that they have this stuff that you can hot rod your DVD. Apparently, you're not allowed to watch a DVD in the car when it's running. It only activates when the brake comes on, but people they override that. They hot rod it so they can watch all the time. So this guy's sort of like, I love this part. This is where Robert Duvall says, I love the smell of napalm. Oh no, we're in trouble. Oh, this part's great. This is where Joe Pesci beats the crap out of that guy. Oh, why did you tell me we were gonna? This is great. This is where this is that scene where they're at the intergalactic bar and all those goofy. Hey, what the? How come?
Lord.
Hey, let's play that ad. I want some more laughs. I want to hear the second installation of the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth ad.
If you have any questions about what John Kerry's made of, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry?
He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
I don't know what scene. I hope it doesn't ever wear off, but I feel like it will wear off. Hey, so there's other elections. A lot of campaigning going on in Afghanistan, but a different kind of campaigning. Are you for me? No?
Yeah, that's what.
Look, there are people voting.
Oh, yeah. 17 warlords and Hamid Karzai are running for the presidency. Including, by the way, an Uzbek. And you know how crazy those Uzbeks are.
Please vote for me. I will make your homes better. We are making lots of money on new opium business. Who are you? Who are you? Okay, vote for me. You vote for me. Hey, what? Buy my heroin.
Democracy, what a concept.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the Uzbeks and the Afghans are not going to be happy with us making light of their... Now, this is due October 9th, I believe it is, the election in Afghanistan. Don't look at the copy. It's not in the story. I checked.
If you're streaming from Afghanistan, get out there and register to vote.
Yeah.
Because it's important that every vote is counted, okay? And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of...
Warlords, how did they... By the way, the public had, I think, lodged something on the order of 115 complaints against some or all of the 18 people who are running, and one of the guys who had some complaints got upset because he said Karzai had 50, he only had one, and they pointed him out.
Really?
Yeah.
These guys. Well, I can't even imagine what they're campaigning on. My opium crop is of the highest grade. I have the most people employed in my opium crop. We get the opium crop to market before it needs to be, and I think that I am most responsible for running this country. Who are you?
I'm wondering if there's any of them that really have stones enough to say, look, we have no problem with Osama being here. We are giving him safe haven. We have no. And by the way, are there? No, the Taliban were not allowed to run. I believe previous members of the Taliban administration were not allowed to run in this election. But how do you know you don't have any Osama sympathizers running?
But how do you know you don't have guys that were working for the Taliban? Of course, there are Osama sympathizers there. And I think the problem is that they can't get Osama to endorse any of their local candidates because he's busy campaigning for Bush.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you heard Robert Baer say that Osama still has a lot of sympathy, both in Pakistan and in Afghanistan.
And his implication there was that you can't get to him. You can't get information. No one is willing to rat him out.
No one's willing to rat him out. And Musharraf is treading, and folks, pay attention to this because it's going to come up again. Musharraf is treading a very thin line cooperating with the West in this instance, cooperating with the United States. He has done so. He has gotten some of these people to turn and all those sorts of things. But there is going to be a domestic problem.
That's all because of them, of the administration leaking this guy Mohammed Khan's name.
Yeah, they're furious. So are the Brits, by the way. The British are very, very upset.
They're pissed
that this name has been dropped. Because remember, they arrested 12 people in Britain largely as a result of the information they got from
him. And they didn't have enough information to hold a lot of them because they knew that the guy's name was out there. A lot of them bolted. You know, so basically this is all part of this administration's war on terror, is that in name of politicizing and campaigning and trying to rally votes in this country, they've completely, you know, let go of any integrity within this war on terror, which there was very little to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. When we come back, author Irshad Manji joins us live in studio. We've got Recovery Corner for you, and from the Streisand compound, the liberal agenda, all here on Air America Radio.
This year, I'm hearing two kinds of political humor. Type one is the standard fare of Leno, Letterman, and that crew. Easy, cheap shots that are rooted in media stereotypes. You know, George Bush is a moron, John Kerry is a flip-flopper, that type of joke. These are to humor what Chicken McNuggets are to cuisine. They make us laugh. McNuggets will fill you up, but they also reinforce all that's stupid, shallow, and incurious about our political culture. Empty humor calories. The other kind of humor makes us laugh while cutting towards some deeper truth. Okay, so George Bush is thick as a brick. How does he get away with all this stuff? While Daily Show host Jon Stewart interviewed news guy Wolf Blitzer recently, Stewart, in his funny, unique way, asked Blitzer how the mainstream news corps had been so unskeptical of the Bush pretext for the war with Iraq. And there, in the midst of a comedy show, Blitzer cops to groupthink on the part of the media. You could surf the news channels for weeks and never find that insight into today's politics, but it was there on a comedy show. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. U.S. intelligence officials say a high-profile assassination triggered by the public release of a new message from Osama bin Laden will be part of a new major al-Qaeda terrorist attack. This according to the Washington Times this morning. U.S. officials speaking on anonymity dropped the dime on the intelligence report. State Secretary Colin Powell says he will not be among those heaping praise on the Bush-Cheney team at the upcoming Republican National Convention in New York. Powell says cabinet members traditionally steer clear of such political events, but history paints a completely different picture. Democrats are not too happy with President Bush's selection of Florida Republican Porter Goss to head up the CIA. Democrats fear that Goss, despite his extensive intelligence record, will be too partisan. And Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry trekked to Nevada yesterday, where he blasted President Bush for breaking his promise to state residents on deal with nuclear waste in Nevada. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Something new's just come to town. Bigger, bolder, brassier than anything you've ever heard before. They got names, big names. Riggins, Banks, Reeves, plus a posse of pros. And they're bringing the big guns of the NFL to Sirius. Live 24/7. All NFL, all the time. NFL Radio. Sirius 124.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Janet, a single mom, wants to buy a home. I give her a plan to do so after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
So how does a single mom buy a home?
I need to get myself on some type of a budget so that I can buy a house. I'm a single mother.
What do you make a year?
$15,000.
What I would do is two things towards being able to save some money. And you need to build an emergency fund first and then a down payment. So you're a ways from buying a home. You need to rent something very, very cheap
And anything we cannot pay out in rent is going to be towards the savings. So short term, then, we need to probably pick up part-time jobs, which is difficult with a baby. Again, it's not a great idea to work 60, 70 hours a week when you got a baby at home. I understand. There's just no magic pill that's going to make $15,000 jump into $10,000 into a savings account. Got to do is we got to get the income up short term and long term. Now, the answer long term is easier but harder, and that is education. You've got to start reading like crazy. You need to read a nonfiction book a month on something that you want to get into, something that you want to make yourself an expert on.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Hey, it's Mark Maron here on Morning's Edition with Mark Riley.
Hey!
It's Air America Radio. We have a guest in studio, and Riley and her were just discussing the BlackBerry.
Yes.
And Riley said, "God, I wish I could have something like this, but I can't be that organized." And you can't. I can't. The problem is like with anything that like that, any sort of technical device, I just learn how to use it for my basic needs, and that's over.
That's it. Yeah.
The rest of the book goes unread. Our guest in studio.
Wait a minute. That's not what you want to say to an author in studio. I know you're referring to the BlackBerry, but now I'm getting the heebie-jeebies.
No, wait. No, I'm talking about the manual.
Yeah.
The manual.
Right.
Did you really read? Did you read the whole manual to the BlackBerry?
Are you kidding? I didn't even crack it open.
No. How do I make this work for me? That's all I need to know.
It's the work of Satan, all of it.
Let me introduce you. She is the author of The Trouble with Islam, A Muslim's Call for Reform in Her Faith. She currently hosts Big Ideas in Toronto. The website is www.muslim-refusnik.com. We'll put that on our links page. Please welcome Irshad Manji to the show.
Good
morning.
Guys.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
You know, you're pretty perky for this time of day. You've been drinking coffee like us?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I uttered a mild complaint coming into the studio about why the hell. Is this part of the sedition, actually?
Yes, you know, getting coffee here is part of the sedition.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. I was told in no uncertain terms, you know, clam up because we get here at 4 a.m. and 2 a.m. respectively.
No complaining.
Yeah. No complaining. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. We should have a good coffee machine, though. You know, we talked to Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, who you know of,
mm-hmm.
who wrote a book that is sort of antithetical in some ways to yours. Now, in your opinion, what is it about Islam that has created a legion of violent, zealous followers?
Well, it goes back to my title, The Trouble with Islam,
yes.
And I consider The Trouble with Islam today to be, in a word, literalism.
Okay.
Now, guys, I completely acknowledge that every single religion out there has its share of literalists. God
mm-hmm.
knows
mm-hmm.
American Christianity has its evangelicals, some of whom populate the White House.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, Jews have their ultra-Orthodox. Even Buddhists, for God's sakes, have fundamentalists.
Right. Tina Turner.
The difference is, yeah, but she's got great hair.
Yeah.
And great legs.
Yeah.
But the difference is that only in Islam today is literalism going mainstream worldwide. And what I mean is, we Muslims, even here in the West, are routinely raised to believe that because the Quran, our holy book, comes after the Torah and the Bible, chronologically, historically, it is the final and therefore perfect manifesto of God's will, okay, not given to the kinds of ambiguities and inconsistencies and outright contradictions like all of those other sacred texts. No, even moderate Muslims will affirm for one another that the Quran is not like any other holy book. It is, if I can put it this way, God 3.0, and none shall come after it. And you know what?
So basically they're saying is, like, but have you read the third one?
Well, yeah, the third and the perfect and the final
right.
one,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
And this is a supremacy complex
okay.
that even moderates have, which is dangerous because when abuse happens under the banner of my religion, as is the case today, most Muslims have no clue how to debate or dissent or revise or reform. And no, I'm not saying that Muslims are stupid. I am saying that we have never been introduced to the possibility, let alone the virtue, of asking questions about our holy book.
Let me stop you right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, Mark Maron, this speaks directly to something you were talking about earlier.
Refresh my memory.
The idea of you know, people of a certain depth of faith believing that everybody else's faith can't be as good.
Yeah.
Right, even if they say that they're tolerant.
Exactly. Even
right.
if they say that they're moderate.
Right.
And, you know, I know that that this is a contentious argument to make, but, you know, I think that moderate Christians and Jews, for the most part, can still see the validity or have some respect for other people's belief systems. But moderate Muslims, though publicly, you know, many of them absolutely want to coexist with others, there is this spiritual narcissism, as I call it, call it, that does not even allow us to think that other religions may be on equal par.
And this is something that we asked the imam earlier, is that do you think this is partially responsible for the lack of complete negative reaction in relation to the terrorist attack?
Oh, yeah, totally. That's a great point, really? Actually, Mark, because I would argue that this inability to debate and dissent and revise and reform is the first and primary reason for our stony silence as moderate Muslims in the face of Islamism.
Are you afraid of, is it because the moderate Muslim community is actually afraid of radical Muslims?
Well, not just afraid of radical Muslims, but more to the point, afraid of the, you know, what will happen to them if they do dare to speak out. As a matter of fact, I hear, apart from the death threats and the hate and the venom, which is all predictable, the thing that really surprises me since the release of the book is that I hear tons of support and affection and even love from Muslims around the world, particularly young Muslims and Muslim women who are saying thank you for going public with what we've only allowed ourselves to think privately. But they almost all tell me that they can't yet even vocalize their own struggles with the faith today because they fear, and here's a word that's used with me constantly, persecution, by which they mean physical violence against themselves and their families, by other men, by
right.
men in the Muslim community, so, not even by governments.
Right.
You know?
So what is your book about essentially? You are, what type of Muslim are
right.
you?
First of all, I'm the kind of Muslim who recognizes that there was something very pluralistic and progressive about Islam hundreds and hundreds of years ago. I'm going to introduce a word to your audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's called ijtihad.
Mm-hmm.
This is Islam's lost tradition of independent thinking. Recognize that that sounds eerily like jihad to a lot of non-Arab ears, and in fact it comes from the same root, guys, to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike violent struggle, ijtihad is all about independent thinking and independent reasoning. And I'm arguing in my book that this is the tradition, our tradition within Islam, that Muslims need to revive in order to update the faith for the 21st century. And you know what's really interesting about all of this is that I think we Muslims in the West, actually, are perfectly positioned to revive this tradition of indie thinking because it is here that we already enjoy these precious freedoms to think and express and challenge and be challenged without
great.
Fear
that's
of state
engaging.
Reprisal.
Right, that's great. Yeah,
you know?
let's take some calls and come back
okay.
and finish the conversation. 866-303-2270. Our guest is Irshad Manji, and we'll take any form of call for her because she's very informed and knows a lot about Islam and also sort of reinterpreting it for the modern world. So we'll be back here on Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Ah, oh, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jim Brewer.
Raw Dog, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Jim Brewer unleashed with my good friend Pete Corielli and the gang. There'll be no strippers.
There'll be no hookers.
Hey, Daddy.
There'll be no midgets. There'll be no delinquents.
Off the leash.
What's up?
The arms are
bound to come over there and punch you in the snot box, Charlie.
Come hang out. Jim Brewer, unleashed. Friday night, 6 p.m.
Raw Dog.
Where what now?
Sirius 147.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, and now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
I started hearing voices telling me, you're dying, you're dying. I couldn't make them stop. My heart kept speeding up and slowing down. Now I feel paranoid all the time, and I can't tell what is real and what isn't. I'm on medication, but it doesn't help. Sometimes I believe I'm already dead and in hell.
Unfortunately, this 19-year-old learned that happiness and a heightened sense of touch aren't the only side effects of ecstasy. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
It's not often you can make a real difference in the lives of kids. When you volunteer as an optimist, you'll be helping kids take a positive turn in their lives. As their role model, mentor, leader, and friend, you'll help young people develop positive attitudes and approaches to life that will enable them to excel in school and in our community. So if you care about kids, give yourself a present by volunteering today. Optimists, bringing out the best in kids.
There's something important you can do to help your child develop properly starting at birth. Have your baby's hearing tested and follow up on any advice you're given. It's easy, inexpensive, and can help you protect your child's ability to learn. For more information, contact the American Speech Language Hearing Association on the web at asha.org or call 1-800-638-8255. 1-800-638-8255.
Back. It's Mark Maron with Mark Riley, Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. Our guest, Irshad Manji, the book, The Trouble with Islam, A Muslim's Call for Reform in Her Faith. You can pick that up at a discount on AirAmericaRadio.com or go to MorningSedition.com, and you can be connected to that. Right now, though, before we continue our conversation and take your calls, my name's Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark!
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering counsel to my sponsee, George W. George, I understand you're in Albuquerque today. That's my hometown. It makes me very nervous. You're in an environment that could be very dangerous for someone so close to relapse. I want you to stay sober, buddy. You have to avoid certain things, George W., and I'm talking about my dad. All right? I'm not sure how, but I'm pretty sure my dad drove me to drink, just like yours drove you to drink. He creates this incredibly negative environment, you know, the same one you create with your ads lying about Kerry. You know, those of us in recovery have to avoid people, places, and things. For me, that's my dad. The place where he lives and his things. So I feel like it's a good idea if you avoid my dad, too. I've been careful to avoid your dad, and I've been sober for 5 good years now, okay? It's eerie how intertwined our lives have become, George W., but let's use that to our advantage. All right, brother? Stay away from my dad. I'll stay away from yours. So remember, keep the plug in the jug. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Bend your knees before you bend your elbow. Sorrow is looking back. Worry is looking forward. Get to a meeting. Don't drink. See how I reach out
quick.
To people?
Now, before we go to the phones, I have a question for Irshad. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You didn't ask me if that was okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that okay?
I guess it doesn't matter.
No.
Go for it.
Well, I'm curious because, you know, when we spoke to Imam Faisal earlier, he said that, and I've heard this from a lot of Muslims, and particularly Muslim clerics, that moderate Muslims did, in fact, condemn the 9/11 attacks, have condemned terrorism, but that the media hasn't covered it on the level, perhaps, that would have put it in the American consciousness. Is that a valid point?
Possibly, and I, of course, know of some moderate Muslims who have, condemned 9/11 and the many terrorist attacks since then. But not enough. And even in my own regular engagement with people who read the book and then email me through my website, there is so much defensiveness that first needs to be cut through before, you know, they're even willing to say, okay, I do condemn the terror, but there's always a but following.
Mm.
And to give props where they're due, I understand that a lot of Muslims feel under siege today.
Mm-hmm.
Look, in the 1991 Gulf War, I myself went through something similar when I was an assistant to a member of Parliament in Ottawa, Canada's capital, and was studiously taking notes during a Senate committee hearing and was unceremoniously tapped on the shoulder and marched out of the government building with absolutely no statement, no justification.
What?
So I understand.
They booted you because you were Muslim.
Me. Well, that's very, very obvious. So I get it. I understand what a lot of Muslims are saying. But I still don't think that we are doing any service to the cause of peace or justice or to a better image of Islam by not being really upfront about what we do stand for rather than, you know, sort of papering it over with a lot of excuses and apologies.
And also trying to evolve the religion itself and integrate it into the modern world.
Yeah.
In terms of, let's talk to a caller so we can address some of the women's issues. Martha in Long Beach, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I want to I'll get the information about the book again, but I was curious as to her perception of how in all three major religions the women's changing roles at this time seem to be connected, and how as women get more power, all three religions seem to get more literal or more fundamental.
Wow, okay.
And the fundamentals seem to get more violent and hold on to their
That is. Marta, are you saying that you think that the literalism is a response to women's changing roles?
It begs the issue.
All right,
because you seem to see the same thing in fundamental Christians and
That's interesting.
I need to know from Marta, where are you seeing women in Islam gaining that much power to be able to incur this, you know, literalist backlash?
I think just the idea that they may, it's seen as when they take off their burqas and they can drive cars and do this, those are one of the first things that are grab those freedoms are the first things that are taken away when a literalist and fundamentalist group becomes back into power in Afghanistan.
Okay, well, thanks. Let's try and address that question. Thanks for your call. It was a good call, Marta. So how do you address that? Do you see any sort of connection between those two things?
Not yet. I think it's an interesting point that she makes, and it's, you know, worth kind of thinking about further and kind of opening up our eyes to whether that there is that link. But I think, you know, there's something very different, I think, in the way that women in Islam are treated today around the world than in the other two religions. And let me explain what that is. There is this word, honor.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it sounds honorable, right? Because, hey, we call it honor.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's applied to Muslim women, it is anything but honorable. Honor is the Arab cultural tradition that requires a Muslim woman to sacrifice her individuality in order to maintain the reputation of the men in her life.
Does that mean uniquely Arab, though?
That concept, yes, when applied to women, very uniquely Arab. And of course, I'm not saying that, you know, other cultures don't have such a thing as honor. Japanese culture, for example, does. But I'm talking about women now and how it plays out on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that effectively turns women into communal property so that their lives don't actually belong to them. Their lives belong to a wider group of people. And this is why, for instance, wider group of people meaning families or clans or tribes. And this is why, for example, Hamas, the terrorist outfit in the Palestinian territories, can come out with a statement, as they did in January, claiming that women will now be eligible to be, you know, suicide bombers. Woohoo! Very progressive.
Yeah.
But only those women who have dishonored. Why? Because by dishonoring, they have left a moral stain on their families, and by taking their lives and that of others with them, they can now absolve their families and not just themselves of that immorality.
That's wild, because in tribal communities, there's a certain genetic currency to women that, you know, there's trading almost going on in expanding a tribe and not expanding a tribe. And if you're saying, so if a woman acts dishonorably, it puts a stain on
the family.
Yep, that's right.
It's intense. Let's talk more after this. We'll be right back on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com, where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
Serious. It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell him to get the Serious Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. You already love Serious. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Sirius.com under business subscriptions or call 888-539-SIRIUS.
Here's a safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
Hello, this is Alex Trebek for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you are blind or unable to read because of physical handicap, we will send you by mail recorded selections from leading magazines. If you want 8 hours of great writing on special speed cassettes 6 times a year, do let us know. Write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Remember, it's free. Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Thank you.
Hey, kid, are you in the car with your parents right now? Have they ever asked you about the drug ecstasy? Probably not, right? They still think parties are all about getting drunk. Or that drugs are something only bad kids would do. Hey, they never ask. They'll never know that E is used by good kids just like you. They'll never know about those bottles in your bedroom that look like vitamins or that glow stick jewelry. They'll never know that E can cause seizures, strokes, heart attacks, or death. Even the first time you use it. Yeah, you sure got them fooled, all right.
Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Coming in for a landing here on Morning's Edition, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. Our guest is Irshad Manji. The book, The Trouble with Islam, A Muslim's Call for Reform in Her Faith. She also hosts the show Big Ideas in Toronto, and I guess you can email there at it's a website, and I'm sure they can contact you if they want.
That's it. There's a contact me.
Like I was about to throw out your personal website.
Yeah.
You can call her at home at www.muslim-refusnik.com. Let's take this call and engage here. Carl in Maine.
Hey, Carl.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
My question, Irshad, is are there multiple versions of the Quran, much like the Christian Bible, where there are all the different versions and translations, if you will, and
right.
even a lot of debate amongst, you know, Christian priests and evangelists? Is the same in the Quran?
Okay, thanks for your question, Carl.
Great, Carl.
Great question, and the answer is not nearly the kind of volume of interpretations and translations as there are in Christianity. As a matter of fact, it's often been said that any translation of the Quran, not even interpretation, Carl, translation of the Quran is inherently suspect because Arabic, being the nuanced language that it is, and being the divine language that it is, we are told, simply cannot lend itself to decent translations. But you know what I find interesting about that argument, Carl, is that 87% of Muslims worldwide are non-Arabs. Only 13% are Arabs. And so it stands to reason that a huge proportion of the Muslim community worldwide, actually, even if they're reciting Arabic, don't know what they're reciting.
Well, same with Hebrew,
sure.
and Jewish people. But so wait, let me understand something. You're saying that even though it's the original language is Arabic, it's too nuanced to trust, which means the only version...
Not nuanced to trust, too nuanced to translate.
Oh, so the only honest
English
version of the
Malay.
Quran exists
in Arabic.
Exactly.
In the mind of God?
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I think that that's just a sort of a man-made principle to keep, you know, us lower folks dependent upon the higher-ups. You know, mm-hmm. obviously, I don't buy it for a second.
Right. You can't speak about the Quran unless you're tapped in.
Yeah, that's it. And you know what? It's like telling a Christian that they're inadequate because they don't speak Greek, you know, the original language of the New Testament.
See, what I don't understand is with that kind of language barrier, how does it grow so quickly in places like Africa?
Well, it's a great question, and I think that, you know, a lot of it has to do with tapping into the frustration and resentment over Western imperialism, over economic poverty, and so on and so forth. I mean, Islam, you know, as I mentioned earlier, has some very progressive principles, particularly about redistributing wealth. Charity is actually mandatory within Islam, for example. One final thing I'll say, MuslimRefusnik.com, that's my website, Azris. A Muslim refuse is not someone who refuses to be a Muslim. It's somebody who refuses to join an army of automatons or robots in the name of God, anybody's God, including Allah.
All right. Thank you so much. Irshad Manji, very interesting. The book is The Trouble with Islam, a Muslim's Call for Reform in Her Faith. It was great talking to you.
Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Come back and see us
really
again.
Great.
Yeah,
right.
Here.
Happily.
So, oh, there it is.
There it is.
Wow, what timing. How does that work out that the fact comes at that time right away? All right, here's the facts from the Streisand compound. Here's the liberal agenda for today. One, practice for a Republican convention by dousing yourself with pepper spray, writhing on the ground and screaming, police brutality! Two, feeling frisky, file a frivolous lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Three, demand government protection for vinyl LPs after Rolling Stone called them an endangered species. And four, as always, be the first to complain. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation regardless of the topic. Quote, that's the slaveholder's position. End quote. Thanks again for being here. Thank you, Mark Riley.
Thank you, Mark Maron. We've got a bunch of stuff going on tomorrow. Coming up on tomorrow's Morning's Edition, terrorism expert Peter Bergen joins us for what will clearly be his most exciting interview ever. Way more exciting than talking to that Bin Laden guy who we talked to in a cave. Plus, we'll check in with our good friend Robert Reich. That's tomorrow's Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Maron.
You too, Riley.